Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengowrie. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we'll go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world still is the same.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and it's a cranky Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. I'm very cranky. I'm very impatient. Nothing's going right today for me. But we'll work it out in the next 2 hours. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Eric is... where's Eric?
It's his day off.
Not here.
Day
Not
off. Here. All right. Doc's in the booth, and Toyota just brought in food, so at least that's going right. Courtesy of Chris with a T-I-A-N.
Whose email is down.
Right, his email at work is down, so we won't be able to email in. But thank you, Chris.
But we do have to not only give him props for the lunch, though, Freddie.
Yeah.
He's also breaking stuff.
Yeah.
He's breaking news here on
the
show. He's
the one that told us about Fred Taylor, and we suspect that a certain writer from ESPN Boston was listening to our show and may have followed up and verified that.
Yeah, the man!
Christian, once again, your information proved vital and accurate.
Man.
Keep that pipeline going. You got any other scoops, let us know. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And guys, not good. I don't know if that one hurt more than the Jets game. I think the Jets game, we just got our butts kicked. In this game, it was just lack of execution, missed opportunities again. And I'm getting tired, and this is the first game that I'm going to come right out and say Brady blew it. Okay, I still believe he's going to come around. I still have faith in him, but in this particular game, I got to hang this one on Tom Brady. The defense, yeah, they let up that 98 yard drive, but they still only let up 17 points in regulation.
Right.
They still made a lot of stops in the second half. The Patriots had plenty of opportunities to put this game away, to ice it, to give the defense a nice little cushion, and they just didn't do it. And that's not the Brady we know. I'm sorry.
No question. The defense, we've been calling it good enough. It wasn't good enough, but it wasn't that bad. Even allowing 98-yard scoring drives, some of that had to do with the offense and different things on the field a lot, not the offense not converting on third down, not really helping them out at all. And then I agree with you, Fred. For Brady, just... he's not being Brady. I mean, that's the bottom line. He's missing wide-open receivers. The touchdown to Moss was as an NFL quarterback, that's kind of easy. You throw it up there, you hit it, you got to make that play. And those are game-changing plays. You know, the one to Matthews, which I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on, Matthews was a backside receiver. Clearly, he was looking left first. And I have no problem getting to Matthews late because you don't expect him to be wide open down the field. He couldn't get the ball there. It was too late. Okay, that didn't work. And then the one on Welker, clearly Welker took the onus on himself for that. He can't, quote, freelance.
Right. But isn't Brady that expects what made him. Brady and Welker so good?
Well, that's the one thing I'll say is, theoretically, yeah. When you praise a great quarterback and his great receivers and a great offense, you know, whether it's Manning and Harrison or Brady and these guys, you think they can make those sight adjustments and be on the same page like that, especially in this offense where everything is adjustments and reads and coverage and adjusting on the fly. They had a touchdown. If they both see the same thing, they had a touchdown. Brady, maybe you could say, was erring on the side of being conservative, just get the first down and we'll go from there, we'll keep a drive alive. But they missed a potential touchdown. But beyond those, you know, there was an out on a third down to Moss where he just overthrew him above his head.
Yeah.
That those are simple plays they got to make. I mean, especially when things aren't going well, when things aren't clicking on all cylinders, you have to take advantage of the plays that are really there. And they had so many they just didn't hit on.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you guys. I think you've nailed it here. I don't want to completely absolve the defense, but in my opinion, the defense kind of is what we thought it is, and the offense has been far below expectations. Now, that may be unfair. Maybe our expectations are a little too high, but I think the individual plays that both Fred and Andy, you guys brought out, I totally agree with. I think those are throws that Tom has to make. I think he has clearly not been himself. The adjustment period or the, you know, getting up to speed period is taking a little longer than maybe any of us sort of envisioned as we headed into the season. But the bottom line is this, and we didn't even really talk about, to me it was glaring, the possession in the third quarter where the Broncos not once but twice committed penalties on fourth down punts and still the Patriots couldn't convert. They had three punts on that drive they were forced to how many times have we seen
right
the slightest mistake by the opposition and you look back at it and you hear in the post-game locker room Tennessee Titans or you know the Indianapolis Colts name the team after a tough loss and they're saying we had the game right where we wanted to and then we did so and so and all of a sudden Tom Brady, that's why he's the best, he makes you pay for it,
right?
And who's seen that
Patriots
more often
didn't
than
make
not
him pay?
Josh McDaniels. And who was more pissed than anyone on the sideline chewing out his special teams coach? Because Josh McDaniels, I'm thinking right there, says, we just blew the game. Yeah, we gave them the extra chances. The game's over. We lose.
I thought it was telling, too. They were talking about a lot of the Broncos. I saw Jabbar Gaffney specifically saying how important it was to win the toss in overtime because they thought, hey, Gaffney said, we've seen that act before with Tom. We didn't want to give him the ball in overtime.
Right.
That was even after a second half in which he couldn't do a thing right.
Right.
Even then, the Broncos players, especially the ones familiar with Brady, we're expecting Tom to turn it around. He just didn't do it. He didn't do it.
I got into a discussion with somebody yesterday.
You didn't get us in trouble, did you?
No, but,
okay.
You know, the person was telling me that it's unfair to have those expectations of the offense. I don't think that what we're talking about is that high of an expectation. You know, I don't think what we're talking about is so, you know, on a high level that you could say, well, it's a little early, expect that. I don't think so. I think we're talking about, you know, pretty fundamental football. It's just not going right for the Patriots. Now, we've seen glimpses of Brady, you know, be the old Brady. So we know he still can do it. This is a mental thing right now. It's not a physical thing.
Can I both agree and disagree? Yeah. I agree with you on one level. I mean... My commentary a few weeks ago was put 2007 away. Forget about it. It's gone. It was a special season. It was ridiculous. Everyone enjoyed it. It was fun, the blowouts, all that crap. But put it away. Because I saw today, Karen Garigian wrote about Brady being off, and first thing she kind of noted was his passer rating of 85 point whatever. There's 18 guys, including Tony Romo, that are ahead of him. Well, if you look at 2007, he had a ridiculous passer rating, whatever, 117.9 for the season. Take that out of the equation. And Tom Brady has been an 85 to 90 passer rating guy his whole career.
Right.
And so at 85.6 or whatever he's at right now, he's kind of in line for a Tom Brady season.
But he didn't miss those plays.
No,
in the clutch, when it was critical,
I agree.
He performed.
And that's why I'm saying I both agree and disagree, because I think some of the things we're looking for aren't just Tom Brady. Their starting NFL quarterback has to hit Randy Moss when he's that wide open. It wasn't a ridiculous bomb. It was a deep play, but not a, you take those chances, you don't always hit them. That was a NFL touchdown.
The Moss
it has
one.
To be.
The Moss
and
one's not a touchdown.
And the play wasn't even close.
That's
he
right.
didn't even get
not
it
even,
close to him.
And people tried to give him an out with that's the mile high effect
or
whatever.
That was
baloney.
Fred, the funniest thing, I looked at Andy and I made a joke saying the altitude took that one away from him. People were really talking about that in the post game. I was stunned.
So I think it's unfair to compare. The whole 2007 thing needs to just go away. They're not going to be that. You know, Moss and Welker in the summer, we can be as good. We can challenge. Put that crap out of your mind, because it's clear it ain't happening. Brady's on pace for 19 touchdowns. That's below, you know, talk about 50. He generally was like a 26 to 28 touchdown guy. He's not on pace to touch that right now. He's well below that. He's on pace for a bad season in terms of that. So I kind of agree and disagree with the comparisons and what our expectations are. I expect more from this offense, but let's not expect them to be 07. That's end that.
Yeah, and I do think, Fred, another thing that I agree and disagree with, I think that a lot of this is mental, but I do think there's an element to it that's physical as well. I don't think that he is completely 100%, both with the knee and maybe with the shoulder. Hit that he took in the preseason, I don't think that he has looked to me 100% crisp. Physically, I think the larger point is Fred's. Fred's is dead on. I think it's more mental than physical. But listen, the guy's won a lot of games. I think the point that you made, Fred, that I really would agree with, I have seen him miss throws like this before occasionally.
Yes.
Just not with the game on the line.
Right.
As often as he has
right.
in the first couple of games. What you're used to is a game like Buffalo. You know, when I say used to, the 04, 05, 06 Brady could struggle for periods of time, but when the game was on the line, he always came through like he did against Buffalo. And I think that may be fool to say. The old Brady's back.
But there the bottom is. Line is, it looks like, you know, everybody wanted to say 2007. It looks like 2006 right now. It's Brady upset. It's their missing plays. It's the days of Doug Gabriel, Rishe Caldwell, and, you know, Jabbar Gaffney joining the team midseason. That's what it looks like now. And it's not supposed to. I mean,
right.
Welker, Moss,
right.
The basis of your offense has been the same for the last. It shouldn't take this long.
I think some of this has to do with the depth at receiver and Brady maybe pressing in his mind too much that, you know, all I have is Moss and Welker.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, we talked about on opening day was it second week when Edelman had the big game, but it took 15, 16 throws to get 8 receptions. Well, that's what it was with Wes Welker. I believe it was 15 and 8 yesterday for 86 yards. So it's just not clicking. When you throw to Wes Welker 15 times, you expect there to be 13 receptions for 130 yards.
That's a great point.
Instead, it looks like Edelman's out there. It's just none of it is clicking like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think there has to be some physical there. Brady's earned enough of my benefit of the doubt that to be so bad and be so off.
And I know that I always defend Brady, and it's probably maybe
You know what? If we can say in Bill we trust, then I want to be able to say in Tom I trust.
And I certainly would say that in Bill I trust. Like, I don't think that Bill puts together bad game plans. I just don't. So when what they do doesn't work, I put the onus on the execution rather than the game plan, because I've seen enough of Bill over the years, and I do the same thing with Brady.
Right.
When I see him missing, you know, the Welker play at the end of the game down the slot, to me, Andy and I looked at each other immediately and said, Wes had to have done something there that he wasn't supposed to do. Now, I'm not taking the completely off of Brady, because like you guys said, he's become Tom Brady for his ability to read and recognize things and anticipate things, and maybe, you know, if he hangs with that play a fraction of a second longer, they get a big play out of it, maybe even a touchdown. So I don't want to completely absolve Brady on that, but the way I watched the play, I knew that Welker did something that he wasn't supposed to do, and Wes backed that up in the postgame.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate part is you feel like you should have reached the point with this offense, with this receiver, and with this quarterback, that they would have both been able to see the same thing and make that adjustment and praise them for being who they are. That's what you get when you have as a defense, it's hard because they're on the same page, blah, 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 and you're not seeing that. Even the one on Matthews that I sort of give Brady the benefit of the doubt, in the past we've praised him for always finding the open receiver. That's why he's Tom Brady. He finds Mike Matthews when he's wide open, and he didn't. So if we're going to praise him right. all the time for doing that, if you remember, I think it was one to Givens in one of the Super Bowl seasons, and it was like his sixth read, and he went across the field and then came back and like even flat-footed through it but found him.
It was actually in the Indy. In the,
yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to praise him
for
those.
Super Bowl? The first touchdown?
If I'm going to, I don't know. But the point is, if I'm going to praise him for those, that's why he's the great Tom Brady, then I have to say he should find Mike Matthews. The other part I would put on that is, why is a blocking tight end split out wide and Joey Galloway's at home watching the game on TV?
Joey Galloway is killing this offense.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. There's so much to talk about. But yesterday in Bill Belichick's sit down with EEI, Pete Shepard again asked the question about Joey Galloway. You know, what is going on with this guy? Is it mental? You know, and Bill's not going to go there, and he just called it a numbers game.
He better be careful. Sounds like he might lose his membership.
He said, you know, we're not going to, you know, sit Aiken because of what he does in special teams. We're not going to sit Edelman because of, you know, we got him returning kicks. You know, so then the question is, do we bring five, you know, we dress five receivers? Do we take out a tight end? You know, and so he's calling it a numbers game. But I'm sorry. If Joey Galloway is that close to the edge where, you know, he's getting knocked out for an extra tight end or an extra offensive lineman, then there is something wrong. You didn't sign this guy to be a game day decision every week.
And especially for a team that clearly three wide receivers plus right. is their base offense.
Right.
So you're really going in with just one extra receiver. They're not looking to pound the ball. Why does the blocking tight end get the benefit of the doubt over the
right.
extra receiver on an offense that's supposedly a spread passing offense?
And so, I could understand it if you had Jabbar Gaffney was one of these guys. Let's just say Jabbar Gaffney returned punts the way Edelman has, okay? And your third receiver was returning punts the way Edelman did on Sunday. Edelman, by the way, I thought did a pretty good job returning both kicks and punts on Sunday. But to me, he's a special teamer. Like Sam Aiken is a special teamer because neither one of them are contributing virtually anything as receivers. So I agree with you guys. If you're going to sit Galloway, that just tells you that he's not good enough to be the extra receiver.
Right.
It's not really a numbers game.
Right.
It's a talent thing. He's not right. picking it up well enough to be active on Sunday, but they're leaving themselves with only two receivers active because you're getting
– Right.
Sam Aiken's not an NFL wide receiver, and – Julian Edelman is making his way toward that, but it's not there yet.
And, you know, and I don't blame Bill for not telling us the truth because he'd be calling out Joey Galloway. He's not going to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't blame him. But it goes back to, is Brady pressing maybe too much, thinking that every throw I throw, every time I see Mawson Welker, it's got to be perfect, and he's not relaxed out there. He, you know, this is all I've got. I better make it good.
And he's clearly not relaxed out there.
And he's putting too much pressure on himself. I don't know.
Talk about, like, guys being in the zone. He and the whole offense are the opposite of that, right? Everything is a struggle. Everything
yeah.
is just a little bit off. And I think another factor you have to throw in there for consideration is the coaching, is the fact that Josh McDaniels is gone. His quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator is gone. You have Bill O'Brien kind of elevated to a new role. You have Nick Caserio on the outside. You know, there's a lot of changes, not just in person, well, not really in personnel, more so in the coaching.
Right.
And who knows how that it's hard to put a finger on how much that effect
so
has.
That brings up that's a good segue into another thing. I have found, not throughout, but at times, that, let's get this right out here, according to Mike Reese, linebacker Junior Seau signed with the New England Patriots on Tuesday, the network that will air his television show announced. Seau is quoted on Versus website confirming that the deal is finalized. Sale's return has been anticipated since last week. Patriots coach Bill Belichick did not confirm the signing Tuesday, saying only, we don't have anything to say about that. So that's it. So the Patriots will have to make a move on the roster.
Right. Which
could
we
be
get
the
back
guy
to Joey Galloway?
Right,
I mean,
now.
It's a healthy scratch.
Yeah. So, you know, so anyway, Sale's back. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, getting back to what you were talking about, the coaching, play calling. I don't find myself throughout games questioning it, but I do at times where, you know, it's almost like, and I said this in the Ravens game, that they're trying to run too much. And that's just my humble opinion. And maybe they know something about Brady's mindset where they need to do that, but I still say throw the freaking ball.
I try to not criticize play calling because I think it's a difficult thing to do. You don't know the game plan, the matchups, any of that. And if they were not playing well because there was nothing there, then that's one thing. But they're missing open there are opportunities to be made, plays that are there. They're just not grasping them. And I'm not sure this backfield right now deserves a ton of extra opportunities to run the ball. There's plays in the passing game, so I don't know that's the play calling. I agree with the players.
I don't think
the players always say
much.
It's execution. Sometimes it is. This is a time where they're just not executing.
I don't think they ran it too much on Sunday. I think that they may. I know the possession that Fred's talking about, and I agree with Fred. In Baltimore, the last drive the Patriots had with a first down would have effectively ended the game. They ran, and then threw.
Right.
I would have rather have seen maybe two passes and one run in that than two. But I don't think on Sunday they ran the ball too much.
I thought there was one series where it ended up third and four, and Falk ran into the line. They tried. Was,
but those are the kinds
third
of plays.
Line, and they ran a draw to Falk.
But they get them, so it's what
but
they do.
The third, if it was a third and nine, it was had to be backed up deep in their own end.
No. It was definitely around midfield.
They ran a draw on third and nine.
Yep.
Yep.
To Falk.
I don't remember that. I do remember one from deep in their own end that they were conservative with. And I agree with Andy, though. You know, when Kevin busts those draws and they bust wide open for first downs, you know, we want to sit there and we praise the call. It's either a good call or a bad call.
Has Falk done that, recently? I mean,
against the Bills he did a couple times.
Did he?
Yeah, you're down on him, I know. But
well, I think he's lost. I think this is the year he has lost a little bit of
Andy
speed.
Hart right again.
You know, I think that he's still a valuable and third down picking up the blitz. He can still catch out of the backfield and get you those yards, you know, when you need him. But he's not going to break away from anybody.
Well, you know? What do you mean by break away? I still think
never
he
been
can,
his
right.
game.
No, but don't you think he's a little slower than he was last year?
Maybe, but I don't think he's ever broken away from anybody.
Well,
he had the slowest 90-yard kickoff return I've ever seen. Yeah.
He eludes guys long enough to make the play.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily break it for a big play.
I just see a little bit of lack of quickness that I've seen in the past.
I just think we're nitpicking because an offense that we expected to be great.
Look, I'm pissed. We should have won that freaking game.
But had they made the plays that were there, you would be looking at it differently. You wouldn't be saying they ran too much, they this too much, third and nine.
I'd be focusing on the good instead of the bad.
Freddie, I agree. This is a game that the Patriots should have won. And it's definitely one of those games where you look back and say, well, you know, that was self-inflicted. I agree. The Jets beat us, I thought. Yeah. This game, I think we beat ourselves. But we should also add, the Broncos are much better than everybody thought.
Defense is that, you know, if I was at the press conference, one of the questions I would have asked Bill, just to see is this the fastest defense you've faced so far? I think it is.
See, I was more impressed with their offense.
Well. I was
more impressed with Kyle Orton's ability to drop back 50 times
absolutely. And
really not make any mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kyle Orton, that record that he has in the NFL is legit.
I'll tell you what else is legit. Josh McDaniels has worked with three quarterbacks over the last 3 years, and he's made all three look into, like franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One's a Hall of Famer, one was a career backup, and one's a Jag. Yeah, they all looked great.
And how about the fact that, and I know it's short-term with Brady, but Brady right now does not look like himself.
That's my point.
Castle doesn't look anywhere near what he looked like last year, and Orton is playing much better than he did, or at least early in his Chicago
career. What's Brady ever done without Josh McDaniels?
Plenty.
No, he was here. He may not have been in the same role, but
Paul, you know, Paul's right. You can't overlook, you know, the effort of Orton. But their defense, Denver's defense, really impressed me the way they were just all over the place. And you know, going in, I said I was a little worried about their defensive. You know, I shouldn't say that their secondary because of the experience. And they did show that you know they couldn't stop the Patriots all the time, but. They did show a lot of experience there. They didn't make a lot of mistakes, you know. So they're a solid team.
So I told Paul, I left that game feeling very similar to leaving the Ravens game, where it was a battle of teams that are good, that maybe you could see them playing again in the postseason. Are they both good? Are all three Ravens, Patriots, Broncos all good? Or... is this kind of a down year where we're saying
we'll know at the end of the season?
There's a lot of kind of good cream at the top, where
because
I mean the Steelers have had their struggles, the Ravens lose.
This is what the NFL wants. This is this is their goal. You know,
this feels like a year where there will not be a dominant team.
I guess I don't know if I picked Miami or not, but I would say that the Jets should have been a clear favorite. You know, the way Miami had been playing, but they came out. And they just took it to them.
I actually think Miami's played pretty well.
And I
made the comment when they were 0-3 about Pennington. I thought the Jets were going to win last night, but I picked the Jets in the game, so I was wrong with that. But at 0-3, I thought they had played at Atlanta, at home against the Colts and at San Diego, and they were very competitive in all three games.
Especially the Colts game, where they did everything they wanted to do except win the game.
Colts game, they flat out should have won. They didn't, you know, they deserved to lose the other two. But at 0-3, I thought they had three really tough games, two of which were on the road, and they were, you know, they were 0-3. They completely dismantled Buffalo. Do you know that they were 1-3 and they had scored more points than they had allowed? Going into last night's game, the Dolphins had more points scored than points allowed. So that tells you they're very competitive in their three losses, and they won a big, you know, they right. won going away in the one win. I wasn't stunned to see Miami win. Now, I was a little surprised to see how they won with 21 points in the fourth quarter and, you know, racking up the big yardage that they did, 420-some-odd yards of offense or whatever.
Right.
I was a little surprised with the way they won, but I wasn't overly shocked that they were able to win.
I love that Jets defense getting their
comeuppance.
Well,
worry about, hey, you know what? Worry about Miami. Yeah. You have to play Miami twice. Oh, are we going to just dismiss teams now?
Yep.
Okay.
It's very important, apparently, for Doc to let everyone know that the Pats-Broncos game was the most-watched program in Boston for the week of October 5th through the 11th. The game averaged over 1.1 million viewers. And he has another sheet that compares it to all the other things that were on, and it killed everything. The Red Sox weren't even close, which is kind of surprising given that that was a playoff game. So it was twice as big as the Red Sox game. So I guess maybe was Boston's that? A little bit of a football town, a little bit more than people think. So
move on.
Meaningless game in October versus a Major League Baseball playoff game. Anyway, all right.
That happened 4 hours earlier.
Now the what's the difference what time it is?
Well,
there's none of the three
aren't
Red Sox games.
Comparing the things that happened with the times?
No, it's comparing all of the programs, the top 20 programs watched in our DMA for the week.
Right.
Right.
And, I just think all three Red Sox games.
How many people watch TV at 12 o'clock
right.
as opposed to 4?
All non-traditional TV
the
times.
Excuses. It really is unbelievable. Meanwhile, this is the guy who says they don't need to play the baseball games at night. I'll watch them during the day when they're on.
And I did. Well, I watched the whole game in the press box.
So? Screw the Sox.
So why didn't anybody else watch it?
Maybe they didn't care as much as I did. I don't
there
know.
There you go. That's the answer I'm looking for.
No, the answer
you're making my point.
The answer you need is what would happen if they put the Patriots on at midnight.
Midnight?
When the Red Sox played their first two games. What are the ratings for that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. They might be better. All I know is this. My apples-to-apples comparison, Game 7 of the 2004 ALCS outdrew any of the Patriots Super Bowls.
Oh, Red
in
Sox,
Boston.
Yankees.
In Boston.
Right.
So maybe it's maybe it's a baseball time.
It takes that special matchup.
That's all. Nothing else.
It takes that special matchup in order to do it.
As opposed to a Super Bowl?
As opposed to the Red Sox.
The Super Bowl is kind of a big deal. I know you don't think all Super Bowls are big deals. But most other people in America, it's the most watched program in America.
Oh, Patriots Broncos.
In the world.
Like, you know, Patriots Broncos.
Right?
Red Sox.
I know you don't think Super Bowls are important. But when the Patriots played in the Super Bowl, not as many people watch that as the Red Sox.
Red Sox playoffs. I don't know. Patriots
I'm just saying.
In October.
Right.
Just screw the Sox.
Can you both
Let's
say
talk
right?
some football. What's that?
Can you both just say right so we can move on?
Right. All right. You. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. I'm a little disappointed with Josh McDaniels' antics after the game.
You're joking, right?
I guess Bill Belichick said that they kind of knew it would be a jungle after the game, so they – before the game,
he mentioned it after
the game. Said, you know, we're just going to wave. Let's not, you know, get into all that crap.
And Josh came over, by the way, after the, you know, well after the fact, when the game was over, talked to a lot of the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that either.
Wow.
Why?
Now showing sportsmanship is a bad thing.
Okay. Well, what Paul is talking about is, you know, you sit on the bus for about, you know, half hour after all the press conferences are done and locker room access, and you're just waiting for everybody to get dressed and get on the bus. Rarely, I don't think I've ever seen a head coach from another team come over to our bus and start hugging people.
But this is a special case.
Why?
Because everybody loves
didn't do
him.
It. And
nobody.
Cornell never.
He would have got his ass kicked.
No one loved Romeo Crennel.
I don't. I haven't seen a relationship with a guy that departed like McDaniels has in anybody else.
I know he wanted. I don't know if everyone wanted to see him as much as he wanted to see everybody else.
I'm not so sure about that. I for whatever reason,
is your point that you
he's
don't think
the chosen one.
Is your point that you don't think he would have come over if they had lost?
Probably not. And I think
is that your point?
And I think that if he wasn't yucking it up on the field as much, he could have hugged everybody out in the field instead of, you know.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This one's not even worth taking the bait.
Kind of rubbing in a little bit. I felt, you know.
Now, Stripper sent us a photo on the internet. I don't know if you saw that. Where he's saluting somebody, but it looks like he's doing the Hitler thing. And it's dead on.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a little much.
Just so you know, some of our fans want Belichick to take a page out of McDaniel's book and show some emotion on the sideline. He could learn something, according to SPFWs.
Well, I don't know.
But, are you being serious?
Yeah, I felt like, just go away.
Whenever
go celebrate with your team. Congratulations. I don't need all the to-do and the nonsense.
Andy, whenever I think he's being serious on those things, this is when I keep quiet.
What's the to-do?
When I think he's really being serious.
What?
What's the to-do and the nonsense?
You know,
because he pumped a fist.
An hour later, you're over at our buses, you know, hugging anyone that would come by. I mean, you know, I think he hugged one of our camera guy. I don't think he even knew who he was.
He hugged Mike Reese. I saw that.
Why?
Mike Reese
is a reporter. What's he hugging him for?
I don't know. I was thinking, why is a reporter hugging him?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not right. It's not right.
I just don't have a problem with it. And as I said, he's the chosen one for whatever reason. Everybody loves him and everything
he's a nice
done.
Guy.
I love him, too. I'm just saying. But the difference is Bill seems to be hard to get to make feel that way.
And Bill certainly feels that way.
And Josh has done.
He's a great kid.
I said this on BCN. I think Bill gives you constant tests as a player, as a coach, as whoever he comes and talks to.
And he passed them all.
And he passed he didn't know he was passing him, but he passed everyone with flying colors and is now untouchable.
And that's.
I think he could, like, murder somebody and Bill would be at his side hugging him.
The part that you just said about, and he didn't know he was passing him at the time, I think is the key for Bill.
You can't try to pass him because Bill doesn't want you to try to pass him.
Bill loves to put you in positions where you don't realize you're in a position. He just wants to see how you're going to react.
And Josh has done everyone properly and now is in.
Hey,
he's in.
I thought Bill's post game. I thought Bill was as gracious in defeat in a post game setting as I've ever seen him.
Oh, Bill was, but you know,
and that tells me that he has a lot of genuine respect for the guy who beat him.
I could tell he was holding things back. I could tell that in that locker room there was a lot of yelling.
He wasn't happy.
And one thing that
don't turn this around that he had a big smile on his face and say, "Hey, wasn't that great for Josh?" No, he was pissed.
And on EEI, he did say one thing. He says, "You know, obviously we weren't very happy with the game or the post game." That's what he said on EEI.
But I don't understand what your point. You mean the fact that they lost?
Well, the way they played the game, and then he said, and the post game. I don't know if he was referring to how Josh handled himself.
Well, the Patriots should never have a problem with how any team handles a post game because we went on for about 3 weeks defending the ability to celebrate a victory. So let's not get back into that. We're questioning how other teams win.
Okay.
Or to walk off the field during a Super Bowl.
I mean, do we remember the San Diego playoff game that we defended to the hilt? You win a big playoff game, you deserve to celebrate.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So let's not question how other teams celebrate when they beat
Strippers,
us.
Strippers clarifies what I was talking about with the thing. It was second quarter, third and 10 from Denver 41.
And we ran a draw.
And Falk was up the middle for 3 yards.
I don't remember that play, and I would certainly question. I'm with Freddie on that.
Yeah. So
I don't remember that play, but that's a bad call. Draws on third and 10 from the middle of the field, that's a bad call.
I just, in general, try to not question play calling. I mean, unless it's really glaring, I just think.
Well, to me, that's a glaring bad play call. I mean, if you're on your own
10. I still
10,
say you lost
on
the game because you didn't execute, not because the offensive coordinator blew one.
I agree you lost because you didn't execute, but that's a bad play call. That individual play, I would agree with Fred on.
I just think it's kind of irrelevant. I think you could question a play call every game. Whereas I don't think every game I can point to five throws that Brady should have made that he didn't.
I don't think play calling has been an issue this season.
I'd rather them air.
I think that play call was an issue.
I'd rather them air on a bad play call with Tom Brady than a draw to Kevin Falk for up on third and 10. Sure. I'd rather have Brady screw it up. We got to work this out.
Trouble is, he's screwing it up.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the play that Brady changed.
Yes.
That's the play that Brady changed at the line. It absolutely was. I know the play
now. Well, Mankins got called for a penalty on the play, I think.
I know the play they're talking about now. And I remember Andy and I were looking at each other and said, you got to think Tom changed that one, right?
Yep.
Because he demonstratively stepped away from center, looked around, made all the checks, and they ended up snapping the ball before the...
Then it goes back to
Brady. I think that one's on Brady. But that's
Leave
the thing.
Bill O'Brien alone. It's all Brady's fault.
But that's the thing that Andy's talking about. Is when you don't know what the game plan is, that may have been set up, that they may have been in the perfect defense for whatever the Patriots had. And play calling 101 was, we need to check out of this play into this draw. which is the play that will work against what they're doing.
Right.
And on the board that they drew it up on, it worked. On the field, it didn't.
Well, I mean, it's another good example of that is last night on one of the Wildcat plays. I think it gained, you know, a good, you know, 13 or more yards. He went around right end. You know, it was a good play, but there was a jet that dove and had him by the shoulders and couldn't hold on. That guy makes the play. It's a loss for 2 yards, mm-hmm. you know, but instead it's like a 13-yard gain.
It's why they always say one-on-one battles.
Yeah.
You know, you win the one-on-one battles, you're going to win the game. But you lose them, there's a good chance it'll get exposed.
You know, and again, it comes down to, I've said it before, I was very impressed with Denver's speed. Maybe the Patriots had the right play, but Denver's speed, you know, overcompensated for being out of position, and they made up for it. You know, I thought they were very fast on the field.
They were. I mean, they have some athletes. They have play. I mean, you know, Brian
Dawkins. Beyond Dumerville.
Yeah. You know, he was quiet in the backfield. Quiet in the backfield a couple times. And, I mean, you have Champ Bailey. You have Dumerville. You have playmakers. DJ Williams is a guy that gets overlooked. They have guys that run around and make plays. And that's
Brandon Gorin.
No, I'm only kidding.
I thought Brian Dawkins had an impact in the game. I thought there were a couple
like
of times.
I didn't like the spearing that he did near the goal line on Welker. That was spearing. He hit him right in the back with his helmet.
I thought that was a spear. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
That's
yes.
the one Welker got hurt on.
Yeah,
well,
I thought that was a spear. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's,
now,
I don't know.
The Merriweather penalty that everyone's complaining about, people don't realize
right.
that the flag that came out first was not for taunting. That was for the defensive holding or contact. The flag that came out in the back of the end zone was for the taunt. Right. And they decided with both penalties they'd go with the personal conduct.
He got a gift, basically.
Yeah.
He should have been called for two penalties. He should have been called for a late hit of some kind. Defenseless receiver, leading with your helmet. Whatever the unnecessary roughness that the NFL comes up with now in this flag football league that they govern, that was the first penalty. He hit him with his helmet late on the sideline. You know, it was an unnecessary hit by any definition. For some reason, they decided to pick that up. And just called a taunting penalty, which to me, if you were going to pick one of the two up, you should have eaten the taunting penalty and gone with the physical one.
Right.
Because taunting to me is a garbage penalty.
But it was a penalty the way they called it.
The way they called it.
If you do anything in the face right at a player,
you're not allowed to stand over a guy and do that.
He could have done the same thing if he faced the other direction.
Almost with both legs straddling him. He was that close.
Yeah.
And he pointed right down at him.
It's a layup.
And everyone, you know, the first flag actually did come out before he did that. And I could see if that was all people saw. Well, how can you throw it? He hasn't taunted him yet. That flag wasn't for that.
He was lucky he didn't get two penalties.
He should have
because
gotten
the taunting
penalties.
Comes after. That's a dead ball after the play, so they can tack on both. It's not like they're going to pick one.
Which it would have moved it from the 11 to the
five
six
and a half
or whatever. You know, so it wouldn't have been that big a deal. But I think that had they chosen to pick one of them up, I think that they should have chosen to pick up the taunting, even though I think it was a blatant taunt. I think that's a garbage penalty.
But
I think
when it's a personal conduct, doesn't that override? You have to keep
that
one down.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I think so.
But I think for whatever reason, they didn't have to pick up the hit. And for some reason, they did. They talked the guy out of it who was right there.
Yeah.
The guy called it right on the sideline. He was right there. He had the best view of it. And clearly, they talked him out of it.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was that.
And by the way, it would have been 3rd and 3 from the 22. Let's not make this out to be... it was this failed third down. They would have had to kick a field goal. It was it still would have been a short yardage third down from the 22, of which the Broncos were converting at a rapid rate at that point in the game.
In case anyone's interested, they're moving the Vikings-Packers game on November 1st to 4:15. The annual NFL flex schedule with games potentially moving from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night on NBC and from early afternoon to late afternoon doesn't begin until November 22nd. But the NFL has pulled an early flip-flop of Sunday games due ostensibly to the possibility of a World Series game being played in Philadelphia on November 1st. So the Giants-Eagles slides from 4:15 to 1 in its place. This is such crap.
Brett Favre.
They're telling us that it's because of the World Series that they're moving the Vikings and Packers to 4:15. That is such crap.
It is, but what I don't really understand is why they wouldn't just move. Why do they need to have a reason?
Right.
Why just wouldn't you just say, hey, look, the first time these two teams played, it was record-setting ratings, and we want to maximize that.
Well,
technically,
that
you don't have
bad?
Flex scheduling.
Right, you don't have
all
flex
the time.
But, I mean, you can make them a 4:15 game. I mean, I don't think that's a tragedy.
I don't think you want to just... willy-nilly start being
able
to change
other
every
owners
game.
Say, well, you move that game, move my, you know.
Owners, TV, fans.
Yeah. That's just crap.
You need to have some sort of.
Now, I agree with it. That Vikings-Packers game is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe Brett Favre. Here's another thing that's pissing me off.
Well, let's get to something positive then, Fred. The
yes.
Pat's Peak Patriots party in Denver
was
phenomenal.
We need to talk about that.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
We have the greatest, and I mean Patriots fans in general, greatest, and then our fans that were there as part of the group, tremendous. Just unbelievable.
It was amazing. And hats off to Barry.
Barry
and Sion.
Chris Gokong.
Chris Gokong.
Actually introduced himself to me. Handy, Chris Gokong.
The woman.
Ann
Stone.
She's now my second mother.
Okay. Yeah.
Ann Stone.
Wonderful lady.
I mean, just a really top-notch event they put on. It was so welcome. As soon as we walked through the door, they came right over to us, and we were so welcome. It was amazing.
It's you know, they have this strip in Denver. It's like all bars and clubs and stuff. And
Lodo.
This is called the Lodo area. Is that right?
That's the Lodo area.
Yeah, the Poorhouse is a little bar. It's just a hole in the wall. It's not a big place, but it was packed. It was all Patriots fans. All you know, a sea of blue. Some Red Sox stuff. Not as much though.
Except they said the night before the entire place was all Red Sox.
Some Red Sox stuff. Not as much. There was a huge Red Sox shirt hanging from the window in front.
So. It was just packed with Patriots fans, so it was just great. Robert Kraft showed up. He addressed everybody.
And was phenomenal.
He was tremendous.
It was really good.
I've never seen him before.
And if I was an owner, and if I heard
We'd all be in trouble.
No, whenever I heard about these things on the road, I would be there. Because like he said, when these things push him a little bit harder, you know, knowing that that fan base is out there and they're so fervent, you know, that really energizes you to work even harder for your fans.
But we got to meet so many of the people that make this show possible. Like Andy said, our listeners, and that was really cool. You know, Dana and John in L.A. Not a different John in
Johnny
L.A.
Johnny in L.A.
Johnny.
Who has a sister
has
that
a
we'll
sister.
Talk about on Wednesday.
We'll get
save
to that
until Wednesday.
We'll save that for Wednesday when Eric returns. That's called a tease in the business.
I'm a little worried about Eric.
Well, I did see her face on his screensaver today.
You're kidding me.
I am kidding.
Thank God.
The worst part is it's so plausible that you two were just stone-faced and thought it was real.
If that were true, I had just made the decision to no longer talk about it because it was going to freak me out.
So we're not talking about this until
Can we
tomorrow?
Wait till Eric's? It'll be more fun when Eric's here. Later in the show tomorrow, it'll be a good segment.
Steve in Ames, Iowa, we met.
What do they all have in common, Paul?
What did they have in common?
They all wanted to strangle Andy.
Oh,
yes.
If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Sometimes I just want to put my hands right through my iPod and strangle you, Andy.
And how did they all end? They liked me.
Your head is just as big as I thought.
No.
Actually, a couple of it wasn't as big as
Steve
it.
From,
I'm never happy.
Steve from Iowa looks like Joe the Plumber, by the way.
Yep.
So, that's what I call Joe the Plumber.
And Dana from Gunnerston? Something like that? Is that what it's called? Gunnerston?
Yeah.
Great
count,
guy.
Counts trees for a living.
His wife told us,
and he got very mad when I said, so you count trees for a living.
Bought me a beer, and Joe the Plumber
That's the best part.
The generosity.
Bought me a cheeseburger.
Never broke my wallet out of my back pocket.
Yeah.
The generosity, now that's a night out.
The generosity was amazing. Yeah. Everybody was taking care of us all night.
It really does make you feel good. But you know what?
It was a lot of fun.
You know what kind of is illuminating to me from a business standpoint? The people there know us from this show. They don't know us from the newspaper,
right?
Which is troubling.
Sort of.
Dana was, or I don't know if it was Dana or Barry, was saying, you know, you need to give out the 1-800 number more on your show.
1-800-494-PATS.
Yeah, you need to promote the newspaper a little bit more.
But newspapers are dying. It's not just us.
No, I know.
And talking about it with a lot of the people, the same refrain was continued over and over again, and that was just delivery. You know, these are obviously people that aren't in our general area.
Right.
So they're living all over the country, a lot of them on the West Coast, and they don't get the paper fast enough.
But
there's
even
really
that,
nothing
even if
that
they
we can
could.
Do about it.
It's the industry. It's the immediacy.
The
but they don't want to because they can get it anywhere for anyone.
Right.
That's why what we're doing here and podcasts and video are the wave of the future because people want it instant and free.
Yeah.
Could you email the paper as a big PDF so it still looks like a broadsheet?
We could, but like I said, as soon as we print it, it's up on pfwonline.com, and I think Chris, and I'm pretty sure Chris makes it available as a downloadable PDF. So, like on my e-reader, I have a Sony e-reader, I can read that like a book.
Kind of a big deal.
You know, I could read it. You know, it wouldn't be in color, but it would look like the pages.
But overall, Fred, just just a fantastic night.
Yeah, great, great
and
night.
You never know really what to expect when you do something like that because, you know, you just don't know what kind of people are going to be there and how, you know, if they really don't like you. Because let's face it,
they really will strangle you.
Right. We have a lot of arguments on this show, and sometimes it's not for everybody. Sometimes we say stupid stuff, and you never know how you're going to be received. But, my God, everybody made us feel so welcome. It was really
And then the next morning, I didn't go out, but I guess the owner went out to the parking lot, and again, Pikes Peak's Pats and a lot of the same people, but a lot more. They had about 300 people, and the owner addressed them. You can watch Patriots Today, actually, today's version, and see that. So it's just good to see that support on the road. It really is.
Tremendous.
You know, and I'll be honest. When after that game, I thought about them, and I said, you know what? I'm sorry that they're that disappointed. You know, they must have been so disappointed. I felt bad for them.
They invested, you know, time, money, everything to go there. Because a lot, I mean, Steve drove from Iowa. It was 10 hours. The L.A.
Johnny
was
from
18.
L.A. drove from L.A. to Colorado.
And his sister,
flew
to L.A.
from Massachusetts to L.A.
She put over a day of her life into just getting there, and then Brady goes out and lays an egg.
Yeah, well, she did get to meet Eric, though.
Like I said, that's right. I'm very disappointed.
And in a week, she'll contact her local law authorities to get a restraining order.
I'm not sure it will take that long.
So,
you guys shut up.
But it was great. And, you know, I'd love to see, you know, Barry Insiong is a good organizer of this kind of stuff. And, you know, once again, he came through. And Chris Porter was there from Seattle.
Told me not to go to Stonehenge, not worth it.
Oh, really?
The time invested, not worth it.
That was out anyway because of the time. We're like an hour and a half away, right?
Plus, he said they don't really let you get that close. It's kind of all there is there.
Yeah, it's out in the middle of a field.
And you don't get to touch it.
I'll buy you some blocks. We'll build it.
Jenga? Jenga?
Yeah.
I was trying to talk him into Chicago next year as the big one.
Yeah, that would be good.
But they were wondering about the time of the year and the schedule and how it'll be.
But I would love it if we see these everywhere we go.
It would be great.
Have that type of network. That's what I'm working on with F-Core.
The one downside was my undercooked hamburger reappeared in the garbage can later that evening.
Oh, boy. You threw up?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Both ends, about 2 in the morning.
That's not right. How much did you drink?
No, it wasn't the drink.
Why did you throw up?
You didn't know only Paul's allowed to get drunk on
the road.
It
really did look like the uncooked burger came back up.
It
was very rare.
Really?
Yeah. I had issues.
Wow.
I wish it was just air.
You know, mine was a little rare, too, but it tasted good, and no worse for the wear.
Burger came out of red poo.
All right, so and the owners, I just have to shout out to the owners of the poorhouse for closing the place for them, and it was nice. So,
and I need to get a shout out to, do you happen to know the van driver's name?
Donna.
Donna saved my life when I dove out into traffic, and she grabbed me around the waist before I was hit by a car.
She really did.
Did she give you a reach around?
No, but Eric's new girlfriend touched my butt.
Yeah, and mine as well.
I'm a little upset with Donna, though. On the way out, I gave her a tip, and she's like, go Broncos. I'm like, what?
She said that to
you? Yeah.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah. I like it.
Now I see why he was so mad about the post game.
Yes.
Now it's all making sense.
You know, so it was a great trip, except for the game. Sort of like Arizona.
Sort of like
not,
the Super
not
Bowl.
Quite, not quite that bad, but, you know.
Yeah, let's not
And in
it
a similar game where the defense, sure, you can blame them, but the offense is the one that didn't live up to their expectation and reputation.
Right.
And that's why I don't blame the defense. I don't think the defense played a great game on Sunday. I think they made things far too easy for Orton. They weren't, you know, and Bill talked a lot about the short passing game. It was kind of like Pennington in that game here last year. When the ball's out so quickly, the coverage has to be there, and it wasn't. More often than not, it wasn't. Pretty good receivers Denver has. You know, not like getting beat by Eddie Royal, Brandon Marshall, and Jabbar Gaffney is cause to, be humiliation. But it wasn't good enough on defense. But I thought the larger problem on Sunday was the offense not scoring any points in the second half.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. On the phone right now is Tyrone from Delaware. Tyrone, how you doing?
Hi, man. I'm calling from Delaware. You hear my island accent. I'm from the Virgin Islands.
All right. Whereabouts?
St. Thomas.
I used to live in Water Island.
Oh, Water Island?
Yep, right off of the coast there.
Oh, okay. You enjoyed yourself down there?
I love it down there,
I'm looking to go back. But right now, man, I think I've been a Patriots fan since I moved to Connecticut in 1995. I've been a Patriots fan since 1995. And I heard all you guys' points, and I'm going to get to them real quick. Hope I got the time, but I think what's going on with the Patriots, I think Belichick is a lot to blame, and I think everybody going easy on him. But as far as the personnel, I think he got wrong personnel out there. Edelman, I'm going to go real quick with these. Edelman, he's a special teams guy. I mean, I saw that from time he entered, joined our team. He's a special team guy. We don't have a third receiver. You signed Galloway, I understand that. But if we ain't got nobody else, you got a tight end. I heard you guys earlier was talking about that play when Matthews was going, going towards the end zone. If that was a wide receiver, I think a wide receiver make that play. We don't have enough. To me, I think we don't have enough speed on the field. We don't have enough athletic guys, and I think that due to Belichick just letting people go all the time. And another perfect example. We had that kid Vollmer out there as soon as my light went down.
Right.
I remember in the draft that just went, we had a chance to pick Michael Orr. We had a chance. He was right there. We didn't take him. I'm saying to myself, well, he guy playing good. I mean, why not take him? I mean, we went with a kid Vollmer. We had to keep a tight end to help block. Michael Orr is a stud in Baltimore's O-line. He's starting right now. He's a stud.
Well, he's starting because of injury.
The Ravens didn't have anybody better.
Well, you know, Tyrone, I'll agree with you on what you're saying about Galloway and also what you're saying about Edelman being a third receiver. We talked about that earlier in the show.
Yeah, I agree with
all that. The fact that Aiken and Edelman are your third and fourth receivers, that's not right. But I'm not going to agree. I can't agree with you on Orr because
what if Vollmer's better than Orr?
He's going to is a chance. He's a starter on Sunday.
Yeah, they got Vollmer at the end of the second round. They had Light, you know, so the priority wasn't quite there. So I'm not going to go with you on the tackle, but you're absolutely on point with, you know, Edelman. You know, he is a special teamer.
Yeah, I totally agree with your receiver assessment. I think Bill, frankly, has botched that because Galloway was the only guy, and then he's been here all this time. You've had a lot of time to say he's not picking this up. I might need to get someone else, and he hasn't.
And he knew what his offense was going to be. His offense is supposed to be wide receiver heavy spread offense.
Yeah. In other words, on week one, when Joey Galloway didn't seem to know where he was going, that wasn't the first time that Bill found that out. He's had a lot of time to sort of say, I don't have enough at wide receiver here.
And we saw some in training camp where I didn't know. I accounted it to his lack of hand-to-eye coordination, where balls bounce off his chest. It didn't seem like he wanted to catch the ball with his hands. He was, you know, body catching a lot of things, but some of it could be that he just wasn't ready for the ball because he wasn't doing the right thing.
I agree.
I understand all that, but let me go to another point. Let me go to another point. No, and I want to know if I'm wrong because, you know what I'm saying, like I'm just starting to be a football fan since 1994. I don't really know the ins and outs. But it was on the NFL Network a couple weeks ago. New England brings in the third highest revenue in the NFL. Dallas number one, Pittsburgh number two. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself all the time, you know, Peyton Manning getting $100 million. Like Freeney getting 72. Right there, that's $172 million they got, the Colts got there. It's like whenever somebody, a player wants, like Will Fork. I think Will Fork deserves another contract. I think he's playing well. You know what I'm saying? And Richard Seymour, they did Richard Seymour wrong. And then in life, you got to reward those. I know sometimes they don't work, help all the time, but, I mean, I think they did Richard Seymour wrong. And, you know, it's just, I think we just have a lack of talent on that field. And if we don't straighten that out, we're not going to be a playoff team. I mean, people's not scared of Belichick. I think Belichick is just, you know, I think he's arrogant because he thinks he won them Super Bowls by himself. I mean, the NFL caught up. You got basketball players on the field now, if you notice. You got Royal and they let Gaffney go. Gaffney, because I believe they left Gaffney go because he missed that catch when we could have beat Indianapolis last year. But, you know, Kerry Washington, he's a stud down there in Baltimore. I mean, I mean, sometimes you just got to see what you got in Kevin Snow on the practice squad. I think he should have been the third receiver instead over Edelman, and then let Edelman be the special team guy. But I'll talk to you guys. I got to go back to work.
All right, Tyrone.
I'm going to hear you after the radio if you can respond to those comments.
Okay.
Thanks
all
for
right.
calling,
all right, Tyrone.
Tyrone.
That's the great thing about this show is that even if you can't hold on and listen, you can go back later that night and listen to our response. I hear what he's saying about
I do too.
You know, paying guys and everything. They've had a pretty good track record with their philosophy on value so far. You know,
and they spend money. Let's not say they don't spend money. It's how they spend it. It's how they divvy it. Because if you have three guys, you know, if you have Richard Seymour making $30 million over 4 years and Adalys Thomas making $30 million, it's still spending the same money. It's just the Colts said, we have a young elite pass rusher. We're going to sign him. We have our quarterback. We're going to give him the $100 million. The Patriots are spending $170, but instead of on two, it's on six.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Will Fork situation get resolved.
I want him to re-sign Will Fork. He has shown that he's a monster.
I think he deserves it.
He's making plays on the sideline.
He's one of their only.
Come on.
The only guy living up to his name is him, and he's a nose tackle, so it's hard to really.
He's played very well.
That's right.
In terms of some of the other guys he mentioned, I don't mind that they didn't re-sign Jabari Gaffney. I think those kinds of guys.
But you've got to be smart and get somebody to replace him.
They didn't do that. The failure
well,
has
they thought
been,
they did.
They thought they did.
Thought they not only got someone to replace him, they thought they had an upgrade.
And right. And we
it
did,
hasn't,
too.
It hasn't turned out that
way. You know, based on resume.
And that doesn't mean we absolve him of blame for that. That's his job. Yeah. Bill's job is to make sure that the guy will be an upgrade. Not, I thought he was an upgrade. That's not good enough. But I don't think that you win and lose necessarily by letting, you know, Jabari Gaffney go.
Right.
I don't think that it would be much different. I'm not sure that one play had much to do with him leaving either, the drop last year. But I understand the frustration. Tyrone, I understand where he was coming from. I don't think he's completely off base. And listen, when we lose, this is the reaction. This is what we've come to. We're that good. The Patriots are that good right now for this long.
You don't like this.
Every loss, you have to find out why.
And especially when you have two losses, some people might have thought this team was going to lose two games all year, and you're 5 weeks in and you have two losses.
I'm not sure a lot of people thought they were going to lose any games all year, the way they talk around here. It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, that's also part of it. You've lost two games on the road. You can't win on the road now. You know, there's trends developing.
They isn't necessarily the fans. They is the media, the talk show guys. The EEI is just ridiculous. It's ridiculous listening to those guys. They don't think they're ever going to lose a game. So when they lose one, it's like, oh, my God, 2 days, it's like the end of the world. And then, of course, we have to find out how Denver is a good football team.
Right.
Well, that's not what you were saying last week.
No, you were saying they were frauds that would never win again.
Right.
I thought the Patriots would win the game. But I did tell you, Fred, on Thursday, that I felt that Denver would earn a respect and a loss that they had yet to achieve in victory. Because I thought they were a better team than most people
were
saying. And I thought that
even if they had lost, they would have.
I thought the Patriots were going to win 23-17. Well, that's the kind of game it was. I just didn't think Denver was going to win it.
Right.
They ended up winning it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break here. It's 101. And when we come back, John in Dallas is on the phone.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Don't go
yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warmups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards, first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. I mean, usually the house is decked out by now. You know, and the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in progress. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And on the phone right now is John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just upset as everybody else with the loss. But it's not, you know, for me, it's not so much the loss. It's the loss, but it's also the inconsistent play, I think, from the offense. You know, I would have expected to see a little bit of maturity, I guess, over 5 games, and I haven't really seen it. I've seen, you know, times where the offense has looked like what they're capable of producing, and I've seen a lot of times where they're just not something. They're just not clicking. They're not maturing. And I don't know, you know, if you want to put specific, I don't know if you can put specific blame on any one person, but, I mean, you got to, I hate to do this, but you got to kind of look to Brady. I mean, there were plenty of open receivers, and he missed, you know, we can talk about him missing Moss or him missing Welker or whatever it is, but there were significant opportunities to make plays in that second half, and he just didn't make them. And, you know, my, I don't know if you want to call it anger, but I'm a little bit upset, I guess, or upset at Brady's play. I mean, I would have expected, you know, that rust to wear off and him to start clicking with, you know, with his receivers and making the passes that we expect him to make.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I
do too.
I've always been very hesitant to criticize Brady, but I think right now you have to say he's just not playing good enough football. And I'm not even saying Hall of Fame level, or I'm just saying competitive, good, starting NFL quarterback level. When there's an open receiver, more often than not, you have to hit him, and he's missed too many key ones.
Yeah, I agree, too. I just think it's been too inconsistent. There have been plays there. I think John said it absolutely right. There have been plays there to be made, and he hasn't always made them, and Fred brought it up right off the top of the show. Some of those have happened at the worst possible times, and that's what we've really not been accustomed to seeing out of Brady.
Yep.
Yeah, the frustration that we're seeing with him this year, I mean, it's something I haven't really seen a lot in the past. I've seen more of it this year, but I think it's the frustration maybe is a little misplaced. I mean, he seems to be pissed off sometimes at his receivers, and I think he needs to be – I think he's actually probably more frustrated with his own play. I mean, he needs to start looking internally here. I mean, receivers, I mean, granted, I know some of them have dropped passes, you know, but what do you expect from a seventh-round pick who's a converted, you know, quarterback? I mean, you can't – what do you expect from a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aiken, special teams guy, I mean, he's not a free receiver either. I just, you know, I don't, honestly, I mean, if you want to look at it, I don't think that, I don't know. I think some of the blame rests on BB's shoulders as well. I don't think he's put the offense in a particularly good position to succeed. I think if these guys, you know, I think what he should have done is probably go out and made the same kind of move the Jets made with a Braylon Edwards to get someone talented in here who's a real number. You know, Braylon Edwards is the number one or two, but somebody who is a legitimate number three receiver. I mean, to ask that of Sam Aiken or Julian Edelman is just that's ridiculous.
Especially when you have Tom Brady.
I mean, I think he thought he did that with both Lewis and Galloway.
Yeah,
I think he had two number three caliber receivers. I mean, you're not going out to get it, but you have your names. Their names are Moss and Welker. You're filling in with complementary pieces, and I think an aging Joey Galloway or a forgotten Greg Lewis are those types of people.
And is Sam Aiken that good on special teams that you're getting rid of Greg Lewis instead of him?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean,
he's
your core special teams guy, your captain.
Yeah.
He's been a core guy in Buffalo who had one of the best special teams units in the game consistently. They're always praised. So, yeah, I do think he's good enough, but the bottom line is – you need to fill that third slot on a spread offense, and you didn't.
And I'd also wonder if, and Belichick would never admit this, but I wonder if Lewis was dealing with a lot of the same stuff that Galloway's dealing with, too, and he felt, well, Galloway's better, and neither one of them are really picking things up, and maybe Galloway's better. Fred, I know you don't think this is a complicated system, but those receivers say it's very complicated.
Yeah, when they're not doing well.
No.
Doug Gabriel, Donald Hayes.
Go talk to Wes Welker about it. He picked it up immediately. Well, he was dynamite from day one.
If it's that,
he said it was really tough.
If it's that complicated, then only Randy Moss and Wes Welker can succeed in it. Then I don't know.
Gaffney picked it up. You don't
in
have
the middle
to,
of the season.
You don't have to be a star to pick it up.
But Rishay Caldwell got it.
But
he just isn't that talented.
I think there are people that have struggled picking it up. That's all.
Well,
look,
yeah,
I'm not absolving Galloway of blame. I think he should have picked it up by now.
Well, the one issue, though, as we've pointed out, generally you get it or you don't. The guys that we've seen don't get it from the beginning and never do, and the guys that do get it seem to get it pretty quickly. It's an either-or situation.
Yeah. So they should know who are these types of receivers that get it.
And maybe Lewis didn't, and maybe they just said, we can't cut Galloway because then we'll have nobody. And
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
In fairness to Lewis and Galloway, you know, when I was reading your blogs from the training camp and stuff, right, it seemed like Brady was spending a lot of time with Moss. I mean – personally, I don't get it. I mean, I would have thought that these guys have already established some type of connection. Why didn't he spend that time with Galloway?
He did. It was Moss, Galloway, and Welker. He spent, I would say, two or three different days. Those four people would be on one practice field all by themselves while everybody else was on the other practice field. And Galloway was part of that, no question. He also spent some time with Chris Baker.
And Edelman.
By himself.
Moss and Brady spent time with Edelman. And that's the other thing. I mean, Edelman has picked it up close enough to be on the field. I mean, more so than Galloway.
Right.
So I don't think it's anything where you have to change the system or it's too hard or the expectations are too high. I
mean, are you buying that the Edelman is edging out Galloway on game day because he's also returning kicks?
Well, I think that helps, yeah.
It's part of it, I think.
I don't think if he didn't return kicks, you'd have one guy who was barely a receiver and another guy with talent who's not picking it up.
But if Joey...
I think the guy with the talent
Edelman's
going to
be active no matter what. It's not a comparison of Galloway and Edelman.
Exactly. Edelman's going to be active.
He's a kick returner. He's playing on specialties.
He does too many other things. Yeah.
So the Galloway's comparison is somebody else. It's Matthews or
it's... So what they're telling Joey Galloway is in order to get on the field, you have to be a lot better than Edelman. You have to be a lot better than Sam Aiken in the receiving game. Because if you're only going to do one thing for me, you better do it really well.
But I think and he's not comparing doing it well. To those guys are active. Those two guys you just mentioned, in my mind, are active no matter what.
Well, my point is...
Edelman play different positions?
No.
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
But my point is, Galloway right now is not doing the one thing that he does well enough to deserve a roster spot.
Correct.
Period.
Right.
According to Bill.
Yeah.
I would argue that I would rather have the guy who was out there the first 2 or 3 weeks... not always where he was supposed to be, than Sam Aiken.
But you're telling me that Sam Aiken has to be there because of his...
But he's saying out there on
offense. As a receiver.
Andy's right. The guy that's getting replaced is Michael Matthews or
Right.
Eric... I mean, somebody else. Someone else who only does one thing.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have Galloway out there.
I got to think it's Matthews. I mean, he is a third tight end. We've seen this team and often enough not use a third tight end. Use an extra tackle. Use one of those guys. Now, it's a little different now with the injury to Light, but I got to think he was lined up in the slot. He's out wide.
Right.
He had a decent number of snaps. I got to think Matthews and Galloway are a fair comparison.
Well, do you think that early experiment with kicking Light out and or bringing Vollmer in, that didn't work out, and so that's not an option anymore?
I don't know. Maybe.
You might be
it's
right.
A possibility. You know?
I honestly think it was a mistake to leave Galloway out of the game the last two games.
I do, too. I really do. I'm with you.
The only chance of him gaining the system is to spend time in games.
You know, and
if nothing else, he stretches the field, which
that's
really
why I think they've made a mistake. I think his presence at least allows you to keep the defense honest in a better way than Aiken or Edelman would.
My hope is that second half of the season, when they face the Jets the second time, Miami, the Bills, that he will be that different thing that is now part of the offense. But
I'm not so sure.
Andy's not so sure. And
I mean, we haven't seen that really happen.
I know.
So turning the page a little bit to the defense, I don't know. It was interesting to watch their play this week. They looked like a totally different team than they had the week before. They just didn't seem as aggressive. They seemed to be, giving up more of the, intermediate routes and even long. I don't get it. I mean, was it just because of the scheme or the team we're playing, or
I think
some of it have to do with Mayo's return? I mean,
no,
I'm not blaming Mayo for sure, but
I gotta give the Broncos some credit. They were pretty much four deep in receivers, and Marino's pretty good. They mixed him up a little bit with the Wild Horse, got him thinking at least, kept him honest. And I think Orton's better than we give him credit for. I think it's a pretty good defense. I really don't have any problem with how the defense played.
Well, the only question I
don't
have
think the defense
is,
played very well.
You knew, I mean, I watched one preseason game and told you guys coming in, it's clear the Denver offense is about throwing the ball within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. And I thought that's what the Broncos did. They used a lot of short passing games, outs. So as a Patriots defense, didn't you come in knowing that was going to happen? Why are you playing off?
Coverage was never there.
And
even once, there was a key third down, I think, late in the game on the touchdown drive that tied it. That it was like third and four, and Baden was like right behind Eddie Royal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how can you allow that catch? You were standing right there.
And that's
Andy
coverage.
Said, he's turned the wrong way, and Andy was exactly right. It's like, how can you be in a guy's pocket like that and not even put your hand up to defend the pass?
Yeah.
And like Andy says, that's all they ran all day.
That's their scouting report.
Hitch
they
routes.
Played
that's
to their
all
scouting
they ran.
Report. You know you don't have a pass rush that, first of all, I don't think many pass rushes could get there in that situation, but you really don't have an off-the-edge, game-breaking pass rusher. So it falls on the scheme and the coverage to make sure we're up at the line. We may have to take some chances if we get beat deep. We need our safeties to make some plays, whatever. I just thought that aspect of the defense was really lacking.
Yeah, it was another one of those days that I thought, and I said this to Andy, I think late in the third quarter maybe, it was another day that I thought Denver, every time they had the ball virtually, moved, looked like they were doing what they wanted to do. They were mixing up the run and the pass. They didn't have any real long yardage situations. They didn't have a lot of no sacks, no turnovers. But all of a sudden you looked up and they only had 10 points.
Right.
Or whatever it was. And I was like, geez, it's another day for the Patriots defense where it doesn't look good, but the points aren't there. And then all of a sudden, you know, the points came. And they went 98 yards when the game was on the line, and then they went 60 yards with the game on the line in overtime. And they had four drives in that game, 10, 11, 12, and 12 plays. That's not good defense.
But I wonder, is this a case of game plan-wise, on some level, Bill and the coaching staff saying, we'll give them these long drives. We want our offense will outscore them. As long as we don't allow big plays on defense, if we're on sooner or later, we'll make enough plays. We'll keep it good enough. Kind of the mentality we had coming into the year. They'll score 35 points. So if they give up 25, that's good enough.
Right.
But you know what? They're not getting 35 points.
It's a fair point.
And they're only giving up 17.
And that's why.
So don't let Brandon Marshall go 60 yards on one play. Make Kyle Orton go 60 yards on six plays.
Right.
And it'll balance out in the end, but it's not. It's not balancing out. They need somebody to make some plays.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good point. And that's why I thought ultimately on Sunday the problem was on offense. I just don't think the defense played very well.
But
the defense played it the way you thought they would play.
Brady used the word, we were not very complimentary as an offense.
Right.
Right.
And I think
we hung them out to dry.
In game plan, that's how Bill looks at it. He has his offenses and his defense. They work together. You know, it's kind of like
I'm going to do this on offense.
Pass coverage is pass rush and coverage.
Right.
Well, winning is defense and offense, what am I going to do on both sides to balance it out, be complimentary, and win this game?
Right. You don't want to
He expected the offense to do more.
You know, you don't want to go up. In other words, if he thought offensively this was going to be a tough game for him to get over 10 points or 13 points, he's probably not going to be anywhere near as passive defensively as he was. That's a good point.
Thanks for the call, John. John in Dallas calling
in. That was a good call. There's a lot of stuff there, but I do think that the third receiver situation is impacting the offense.
You know what else it is? What it is. I just don't see there's this Matt Jones miracle signing that, you know, he's coming off the Coke corner to come help us out. It's Edelman, well, or maybe it's none.
As it's been for the last 2 years, if Bill agrees with us, we'll know after the season when he does his personnel.
That's a great point.
But he tried last year. That's the one thing he screwed up in the analysis of who the guy was.
Right.
But I think the guys he targeted were theoretically
supposed.
You don't target Braylon Edwards to come be your number three after Moss and Welker.
Especially with Edwards, that's why he's out of Cleveland. He wanted to be the star.
Right.
He didn't like it the way that things
were
there.
I think he targeted the right guys, but they were the wrong guys. If you know what I mean.
He wouldn't have wanted the right type of guy.
Yeah, made the wrong decision.
By the way, did you happen to see, I'm sure you guys did, but the rumor about Braylon Edwards almost got traded to Miami for Ronnie Brown?
Really?
Yeah.
They would have done that?
In training camp. There was a deal. Well, I don't know who said
no. Oh, back in training camp.
In training camp, they were going to make a deal, Braylon Edwards for Ronnie Brown.
Huh.
That would be a terrible trade for the Dolphins.
I totally agree.
Terrible.
I think that would have been a terrible move. I think their receivers.
Ronnie Brown is their franchise.
Yeah, I think Ronnie Brown's a really good player.
I tell you, last night I saw him out of the Wildcat, the first snap, roll left on a designed pass, and he threw it, and I'm thinking, I'd start trying more of those. I mean, he's phenomenal.
Saw the pass he threw against the Patriots. Now, I know that was kind of a trick play. But that was a perfect
pass. Yeah, but this wasn't a trick. This was.
He rolled out.
I mean, he didn't look perfect. He looked kind of like that college quarterback who's more an athlete than a thrower.
Well, yeah.
But it was on target.
He throws it
well
enough.
And you saw the linebacker bit up, and then he tried to get back, and it was too late. It was wide open. And I'm thinking, if you can mix in a few of those a game, and if you have Henny playing a compliment, he went 20 of 26 or whatever it was.
Yeah, for like 250.
Ronnie Brown is the key to that team. He is tremendous.
I said to Andy, Fred, about Henny, I originally thought that the Dolphins were done when Pennington went down, but maybe Henny, not that he's better than Pennington, but maybe his ability to throw the ball maybe a little bit more downfield than Pennington can has allowed that offense to maybe get opened up a little bit.
Yeah,
especially if Ginn can.
I don't know if Pennington hits Ginn on that bomb last night.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know if Brady does.
That's a different reason.
Nick from
I'm not sure if Pennington could get it to him.
Nick from Birmingham says, "I am sick of all this so-called love for Josh McDaniels. Forget that he coached for us; that's in the past. As far as I'm concerned, McDaniels is just another coach with a winning record against our team, and that doesn't sit well with me. Why should we respect this guy any more than another coach with a winning record against our team like Rex Ryan? Josh should have been kissing Bill's rings, and so should Rex Ryan. It's moments like these I miss the leadership of a guy like Rodney Harrison, because Rodney would have preached the message that we all want from Denver is the win. Instead, we got guys looking to give this guy a hug even after we've lost the game. I am not happy. I don't care if McDaniels has a baby the night before the game. The next time we play them, I want the win. And that should always be the Patriots' way.
It was, but they didn't get it. And there was nothing they were doing post-game that was going to make them go back and win the game.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Too much kiss ass. I agree with
that. That's
Nick.
An emailer I want to choke.
I think this
I'm going to turn the tables
on
these
think
people.
This team without Brewski and without Harrison is getting soft.
Well, yeah. I think there is a clear lack of something. I think it's playmaking leadership.
I think
but,
it's talent.
Well, no, because I don't think Brewski at the end was all that talented. And I think Rodney, but I don't think they have
mental
anybody
attitude.
Who steps up and knocks somebody in the yeah. mouth when it needs to happen.
Brewski is not the guy necessarily, but I'm not sure that they have play. I'm not sure they have an outside linebacker better than Vrabel right now.
Adalys Thomas. What's going on?
What do these two players have in common? Rob Ninkovich and Adalys Thomas. They have a sack on the year. One sack each. They're the same guy.
And Rob Ninkovich has about 10 snaps of defense, and he's got a sack.
Yeah, that's the other issue. Adalys Thomas comes off the field in a lot of sub packages, third down defense. I thought this guy was an athletic playmaker.
I just don't. He may not have the mental.
I disagree.
To be there when
I think
when
he
the
has
Patriots
all
get into
the
those...
mental. He just isn't. Earning his, I guess earning, because generally Bill gives you the opportunity
this
to
This guy
earn.
Should be on the field every play, Adalys Thomas. That's what you're
yes.
paying him for.
Yes.
But I don't think it's mental.
If
I
he's
think
coming off,
no mental
if he's
involved.
Coming off when Patriots go into sub-packages, it's because he can't handle the coverage scheme.
But why did he handle it the last 2 years?
Right. And why did
Maybe he didn't do it that way.
Why has he played three different positions here? He played inside,
he's
played outside,
everywhere.
He's been on sub-down
well,
rushing from the inside.
But Fred, what you just said doesn't make sense. They've had more depth on defense the last 2 years than they have now. Now he's coming out. The last 2 years he stayed in.
Well, why?
I don't have an answer. I just don't think he's making
I don't know
the plays.
I'm just saying I don't think he's played well.
I just don't think
it's because of mental.
I think he knows this defense. He's been the communication guy. He's been everything.
He hasn't made the impact plays that we thought we were going to get for the $30
million. Very disappointed.
But more troublesome yes. than not making the plays is he's now not even getting the opportunity to make them. Not how often do you see him lined up rushing and just go get the quarterback? Does that mean
you
can't do it? Does that mean Bill says, you know what? I've seen enough of him to know he can't do that,
now,
so why give him those chances?
And you know, I would accept the explanation that, you know what, he's more valuable to us back, you know, in coverage or stopping the run.
Well, he's like rerouting receivers
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and but, I don't know if that's the best use of his ability.
I'd rather Pierre Woods rerouted guys.
Yes, or, exactly.
Right.
I'm just, it is what it is. To me, it's kind of like the receiver thing. He's been here for 3 years. He hasn't made a ton of plays. Why do we suddenly think he's going to? And maybe Bill's reached the same realization. He's a good linebacker, but he's not a playmaker, not a game changer.
I have your solution to the receiver
problem.
I hate
to think that Ray Lewis made him. But it looks like that. Right?
I have your solution to the Raiders, the receiver problem. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Bills are looking into trading T.O.
Well, that's what I
heard.
I'll
take him, baby.
I heard earlier that he wasn't on the market.
Best number three in the league, I bet.
And now I hear he is. Would you take a chance on him?
No.
No.
Before you would?
Yeah, but I know.
Now, no longer?
Because I told you all along, I wanted him begging to come to my team, and I'd take him with his
right.
humble hat in hand.
Right.
Now he's joining a team that's already got many fires burn. I mean, I got Randy Moss touching one pass. I
what
just
would
know.
It be like to have Moss and T.O. on the same team? Not that I'm not putting Moss in his category, but two guys of that kind of stardom.
It would be a headache I wouldn't want to deal
but
with.
But that's part of the reason why I don't think they can do it. I mean, Moss yeah. has kind of openly been critical of T.O.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to just yeah. bury that. There's two high-profile guys
they'd
that
say they'd bury
snipped
it, but,
at each
right.
other, you know, as recently as the opening week of the season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would be looking to do that.
That would be interesting.
Talk about shows.
Oh.
What a circus we'd have.
Oh, my God. Chris from Stamford says, three questions and I'm back to being depressed. when do we officially start panicking about Tom Brady? I understood it might take time for him to look like his old self, but he has had trouble hitting the long pass. His longest has been from 36 yards, one to Moss and the TD to Baker. I can't tell what's happening, and unfortunately his problems get magnified when Cale Orton looks infallible. Does he lack confidence?
Soup.
I think that's what we're talking about is, you know,
he
for
hasn't,
him.
He hasn't played well.
Yeah.
I don't know what he lacks, but he lacks something that is the normal Tom Brady.
I always say it. I'm the quarterback apologist, but I can't just you know, right. slough this one off. He hasn't played well. He's missed a lot of open guys. And even some of his completions haven't been Brady-like.
Amazing coming off that training camp where he's never looked better.
I was trying to leave that part out of it.
Look, you can have a good training camp and not look good during the season.
By the way, Fred, I don't know if
you
I got
You can have a good practice and not look good in the game.
I don't know if I got
you
a chance to say
You can have a good game
this.
And not look good in practice. So there's all combinations, fathead.
I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but the second most heard comment at the event on Saturday night after, you know, Andy, this time's I want to strangle you, was Fred still think Brady has never looked better? I'm not making it up.
Look,
I had several people come up to me.
I believe it, but that's not what I
Fred
said.
Fred still think they have never
I said
better.
I've never seen him look good in as good in training camp.
Yeah, and
that's what I
still
said.
Can't believe you made that comment.
And I still believe it. I still
What am I going to do?
I
you
thought
still
he,
think
you didn't
the
think
Ravens
he looked great
easy.
In training camp?
Great?
Yeah.
No.
What was keeping him back in your mind?
I thought he favored the leg all training camp, number one.
I just never thought
number
he looked
two,
great.
I don't think he looked crisp a lot of days.
I thought he looked great.
There were 2-minute drills. The defense dominated all camp.
Well, that happens every year. But
No, it doesn't. It's the opposite every year.
I think he looked great this training camp.
Okay, well, that's irrelevant now. He doesn't look great on the
game
field.
There was one particular day at training camp that he fired his helmet to the sideline after a failed 2-minute drill.
Right.
I've never seen that
in
practice.
You see that all the time.
And as a matter of fact, I wrote about it and said it was one of the things that makes him great. Doesn't matter that it's a meaningless drill in practice.
You've seen that before.
It's a Super Bowl for him.
You've seen that before. Come on. But he gets mad at himself. He's done that before. This is still Chris. We can complain.
Right.
We can complain about the DBs all we want, but they're under a ton of pressure when opposing QBs get the time they're getting. Is there a pass rusher anywhere on this roster, or will the Pats have to look elsewhere?
I don't know.
It wasn't a time
Tully
issue.
Tully Bannacane looked okay, but, you know.
It wasn't a time issue on Sunday because Orton had the ball out in three steps almost every play.
Yeah.
And Bill said that. That's not my observation. Bill said the pass rush can't get there when there's no coverage to let them get there.
I remember maybe one or two times where I'm like, wow, our pass rush is – it's like they're hitting a brick wall. But you're right. Most of the time the ball was out of his hands.
Very
so
few people were going to get there.
And that was Bill. Bill said that yesterday.
But the question I have – I believe when was it? Bill praised Derek Burgess. Or no, Dean Pease. Somebody specifically brought up Derek Burgess in the middle of an answer, praising him. I want to say it was a question about either Bannacane or Wright. And I'm wondering if that was one of those preemptive defenses kind of things, or if they really believe it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that they think Derek Burgess is playing good football right now. I can't.
I can't.
Because I haven't seen him do a damn thing.
On his skill set, with his resume, I can't imagine. He's playing well if we're not noticing him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's doing, you know, like Ty Warren to me is a guy, you could not notice him all day, but he could have done his job on 85% of the plays.
Right.
Set the edge, push the pocket. He's not going to be a flashy 4-yard loss kind of player. He's going to make sure that he's playing the run and he's redirecting the running game and he's going to collapse the pocket on the times he's out there in the pass. Derek Burgess isn't that kind of player.
And my question would be, we've seen Rob Ninkovich on a borderline coverage sack where somebody else collapses the pocket, you get a sack. Or Mike Wright's second effort comes off, gets a sack. Or Tully Bannacane comes around the corner and then chases back the other way, gets a sack. I haven't seen Derek Burgess get cheap sacks, never mind impressive ones.
The last guy you brought up to me, Bannacane. I've noticed Bannacane every single game.
Yep.
Right.
Doesn't mean he's playing great.
Right.
He might be flashing 2 or 3 plays a game.
Right.
But my point is, and I keep saying this about Derek Burgess,
right.
If you're even a bad pass rusher, you're going to see the guy come off the edge and end up behind the quarterback. So if the quarterback scrambles out of the pocket, he might run right into a sack. I don't see Derek Burgess doing that. Bannacane comes off the edge consistently, and sometimes he gets there. He got there at a key time on Sunday to make them punt at the end of the game.
He had a great series. A sack, a tackle, Wilfork had the – I mean, that those two guys were that series.
Yeah.
The Wilfork play, by the way, was amazing.
He's the only guy that's been amazing.
They get a 4-yard run to get 2nd and 6 from the 41, I believe. And they call what I think is the perfect call in that situation, a nice screen, and it worked. It was basically one-on-one on the outside with Marino and whoever it was. I forget who it was. Completely, he jocked them. I mean – broke his ankles, left him there, should have been in the open field, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Wilfork came from the inside and just smashed him for a 3-yard loss. That's a game-saving play because that's probably going to be a first down, and now you're in field goal range. They're just running the ball in the middle of the field, setting it up and kicking a field goal on the last play.
Absolutely.
Will Fork made two plays in that game that I thought were game-savers. One was the third and one stop at the five-yard line to force him to kick a field goal in the third quarter, and that one. Yeah. Just amazing. You got to pay the guy.
That's right. Chris's third question, do opposing teams get more up for the Patriots than vice versa? The Jets treated their game like the Super Bowl. You know McDaniels and the other former Patriots players and Vonnie Holiday, apparently, got psyched for Sunday. Did you get the sense that was lacking on New England's part? I know they're 3-2 with a favorable schedule the rest of the way. Still, 4-1 looked a hell of a lot better. Do other teams get more up?
I think other teams get more up for the Patriots. I think the Patriots get up, but I think the other teams... It's a measuring stick game for other teams, I think. The Patriots have been the best team for a decade, and I think they're viewed like that around the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the other team gets extra juice, you know, heading into play.
But I don't notice the Patriots with any lack of juice.
Nope. I don't really notice the Patriots really getting super up for anything. You know, maybe after a game you can tell it was a big win for them. They thought differently, but they're very businesslike. And maybe that's a bad thing.
To a fault.
Maybe it's a bad thing.
That's what I thought cost them Super Bowl 42 was treating that like a business trip rather than the exclamation point on the greatest season in the history of the world.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the overall results over the past, whatever it is now, 8-9 years.
But some of that also has to go out the window with my 2007 season. I mean, these are different Patriots.
No, that's true.
Anytime you're counting on Brandon McGowan, Mike Wright, Tully Banta-Kane, Derek Burgess, I mean, none of these names are Patriots' names, so to speak.
You know, and the schedule there is interesting, too, Freddie. I do think that they've had a couple of tough games here in the first five. I think they have what should be two easy wins coming with Tennessee and Tampa. And they come out of the bye week with Miami, at Indy, the Jets, and at New Orleans. You know, that might be a difficult stretch. But then if you can kind of mine your way through that, say you go 3-1 at that four-game stretch, you should be sitting pretty. You should be in line for a bye if you can do that. Because you got Carolina, Jacksonville, Houston, you know, I think they'll go to Miami. It'll be a tough game down there. It always is. But Buffalo, they should really waltz through December again. They're going to have another one of those like 4-0 or 3-1 Decembers.
Maybe.
Let's hope so.
Unless they, what do you think, they're going to lose a lot of games?
I think they need to start playing better football.
I just think they're playing teams.
I think
so
like
bad.
Carolina, talent wise, if they show up, the Patriots that are playing right,
teams, really.
Like Houston, I dismiss because I think they have a terrible defense, but. This team right now, to me, is just kind of middling. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So, something like Miami, I don't feel great about playing Miami.
I think Miami, I didn't
Jets
think so
again.
Until last night. Now I think Miami could be a tough game down there, especially.
Carolina, I think, is talented enough. New Orleans is obviously a
high-powered
offense. New
Orleans and Indy are going to be tough games on the road anyway.
I think
anyway.
There's enough games there that if you give your down performance and you keep saying, I couldn't execute, I couldn't make the plays I needed to, you could be in a lot of dogfights.
Yeah, I'm kind of gauging it toward, I think this team generally trends up.
Well, they always do.
Yeah, well,
but I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong about
this
that.
Team
maybe I should make
anymore.
That assumption. But
I got to believe that eventually they're going to figure this offense out.
Yeah, well.
That's what history would tell you, but
that's
this
my
team
faith.
Isn't
I know.
Historic.
I know. Let's see. Mish from Montreal says, we were certainly all wrong on the angle this loss would take. I haven't read a single article about how this loss is on the Patriots. Everyone has been about how the Broncos are for real and how great McDaniels is. I've got a few questions. First off, Paul, you agree with that?
I think nationally it should be that the Denver, you know, locally here, I think we're right. I think the Patriots lost this game. But even if they had won the game, I think that the flip side is still true. Denver's a pretty good football team.
Yeah. First off, I've read people say the Broncos confused the Patriots into wasting defensive timeouts. To me, however, it seems the Patriots were confusing themselves with defensive substitutions, perhaps due to Mayo's return. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with Mayo's return. There were times where they were playing cat and mouse.
There was a lot of
personnel-wise.
Yep. And
groupings of like three guys where sub-package, non-sub-package, run them on, run. Who was it that we were excited was going to play and then never actually?
Well,
Maroney came in on one play and was like emphasizing how much he was warming up and getting ready for the snap.
And then,
he runs off and they run a different package on. The Broncos run a different package on. There was some. That was, I think, the greatest example of cat and mouse between the two.
Yeah.
And Bill did say it was related to Josh and the familiarity with the. He's specifically said it. Yeah, there was a lot of that going on, especially in the first half. It caused us to use a couple of timeouts there. We had a burn. I think he said we had to burn two timeouts. Because one of them, he said, they had to use because of the Wildcat. But the other two were as a result of personnel situations that Josh had been prepared for.
The Wild Horse was a little bit of that. I don't
think
they
were prepared
for that.
Bill said we weren't prepared for it. We had seen it. We had to make some adjustments.
Which is a good job by Josh. Yeah. Second, once again, I can't blame the defense in this one, even though there's more reason to this time. They allowed the 98-yard drive for the tie and couldn't stop them in OT, but it still seems like the offense had opportunities to easily finish this game off, both early and late, and still couldn't get into a comfortable rhythm. I'm curious as to whether some blame needs to start being directed at Bill O'Brien for not finding a way to get the boys in rhythm. What do you guys think needs to be done to shake it up? Well, I think it starts, begins and ends with Brady.
Yeah,
I mean, if Brady can get right with Moss and Welker, everything else will kind of unfold for him. But right now, he's not even doing it with his two main guys.
It's not a sexy answer, but you're right, Fred. It's just execution.
Yeah.
Well, it is a sexy answer because they're the sexy players. I mean, but that's supposed to be the sexiness of this offense.
But he's looking for a shakeup. You know,
all
what
right,
can
bench
they do?
Him, bring in
Hoyer. You know, what can they do differently? What can they change? I don't really think they need to change anything. They need to play better.
The result.
Nathan from California, what a frustrating win for the Broncos. I really thought we had that one until they got the penalty on 3rd and 30. Then I had a feeling that we were in trouble. 3rd and 30?
3rd and 30.
What was that? I think he meant 3rd and 3, but could have been any time during the game. That felt like the Jets game last year, or maybe more like the Colts game, where we had the game in the bag, but a penalty put the opposing offense back in it to score and win the game.
The Jets game last year, the Jets had like a 24-point lead at one point.
I don't know.
We came storming back.
I'd be interested to see how we bounce back against the Titans, but the first three games after the bye, we are up for a real challenge, Jets, Dolphins, and Saints. Assuming that we'll beat the Titans and the Bucks, how do you think that we'll approach any of those three games after the bye?
Miami after the bye? Who?
Well,
I'm lost. But Miami's the game after the bye.
Yeah, that's what he said. Dolphins,
Dolphins.
Jets, and
I thought Indy was the game after.
No, Miami at home after the bye, then at Indy.
Oh, okay.
Then home to the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just said to the last email, I don't really think you're going to see wholesale changes. I just think they need to play better. I think they need to execute better.
So you're not quite ready to go Wildcat all the time?
Not unless Brady gets hurt.
Hey, just a total... the traveling of Isaiah Stanbeck, traveling and being on the sidelines all the time, what do you make of that?
That he's the third quarterback?
But why? I mean, is it saying if there's a pregame injury, he would be signed, activated, and, I mean...
Could be as simple as that. It could be something that he's
involved...
Or is involved.
It they like him?
He might be involved in the process, too.
Well, he carries the clipboard and writes,
you know,
but they've had other people do that. I mean, Bill's son has done it in the past where he carries the clipboard and writes down the plays and charts everything.
But is that all he's doing?
You think?
Stand back?
I don't know. I just wonder if it's a positive sign for him that they actually like him. Oh, I don't think so.
I wonder. The Jets game.
Yeah, he was there, but now I believe it's just clipboard charting the plays.
I don't know.
And I just wondered if it was
a
sign.
Think we get an answer if we
like
try
it.
To find out about
no.
that?
No.
I think they like him, by the way.
And making sure he hears every call, every situation, everything. Who knows?
What do you think, Fred?
Maybe swap him later in the year. Is there a chance you swap Stanbeck and Hoyer, and he becomes your backup? I have no idea. It's not worth noting.
I think it's worth noting.
I'm concerned more about the guys on the field right now.
I thought we were PFW in progress. I thought we were first... to 60th on the roster. I thought we were everything, nuts and bolts, A to Z.
Stripper says, does anyone remember Tom Curran saying on Sports Tonight, the Patriots look so good, he can't see them losing, can't even see them trailing in a game this year?
He really said that?
I didn't know he said that.
If
but
it's
that's,
Curran,
that's,
he's probably kidding.
But that's what I'm talking about in terms of the way the media around here reacts.
He might say he was kidding. I'm not sure he was kidding.
You know, that's not so out of the ordinary for the way that people act around here.
Especially if they're... what was it? Washington, where it was Brady to Moss a couple times, and it was like, boom, you know, old school, let's do it. I could see him saying that after that type of a game. And everybody forgets.
Sam in Chicago, I too am frustrated, even a little sick. Question for you guys. If Brady was someone else, and you guys were watching his performance these first few games, and we didn't have the phrase, Tom's just not Tom yet, how would you rate him? Would you be asking for Hoyer yet?
No.
No.
Thanks, and I hope Brady's just going through what Manning did last year for the first half of the 08 season.
I mean, he hasn't been like Jake Delhomme where he's throwing six picks a game.
That's I think
he's been off.
When your quarterback is making turnovers that cost you games, that's when you look for your other guy to come in. I don't think it's been like that at all.
If he was a young player, you'd probably be saying, you know, if he makes those three throws, he's really looking good. I mean,
listen, this is Tom Brady, and it's his standard. Think about some of the plays on Sunday. How about that guy who comes in clean, and he just ducks around him, gets outside the pocket, throws this little touch pass to Kevin Falk that was perfect. I mean, not anybody can do that. His presence is still amazing.
Yeah.
In the pocket and all this stuff. How about the guy,
the ball?
That hit the ball?
And he had it like
Robert
on his forearm, and it's amazing that he didn't lose it. It was like tucked, pressed between just his forearm.
I mean,
he didn't have the points covered. It's amazing he held on to it.
That's a disaster fumble for almost anybody. And, you know, whether you want to say it was lucky, yeah, maybe it was lucky. But I would call it blind luck if I didn't see it happen other times with Brady. It's amazing his innate ability to recognize those things and avoid the disastrous play.
He's only thrown
two picks.
The luck reminds me of that tip ball that Gaffney caught with four Patriots around him.
Hugely lucky.
Oh, my God.
Hugely lucky play.
Ugh.
And he looked good doing it with his twisted striped socks.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa says, how can you guys bitch about the defense when they only gave up 17? This is the NFL,
20.
Not Pop
they gave
Warner.
Up 20.
17 freaking points. The
20.
The offense sucks.
They lost 20-17. They gave up 20 points.
Well, in regulation.
But you know what? Overtime counts. One possession. I can understand if you traded three punts in overtime.
All right.
One possession. The team went 60 yards.
This is the Patriots offense. They should be
10,
scoring minimum
11,
of 24
12,
points.
But that wouldn't make the Patriots defense performance any better.
I know. But
if they won 48-20, the defense would have played the same.
But I can't bitch about the defense because this is what we thought they would be
going
into the season.
Right. Exactly. That's why I put the onus on the offense. Doesn't mean the defense played well. They didn't.
Julio from Toronto says, love the show. Try to listen every time you're on. Why are the corners playing 10 yards off all game long? Denver's passes seem to be three-step drops. Why not play tight? This is so frustrating. Why don't they jam the receivers at the line like they used to with the Colts? Do you think that they should make a run at T.O. before the trade deadline?
Yes.
Now you're saying
you
yes.
You just said no 10 minutes ago.
Right.
It felt better this time.
Okay. I don't know why they played so off, the receivers, but I think that was an issue in the game. That's part of the reason I don't think they played well.
See my boy Owen Schmidt?
Yeah.
That big gash.
What an idiot. What an absolute idiot. Did you see that, Fred?
What's that?
Owen Schmidt? Schmitty, as you call him?
No.
Fullback for the Seahawks. Pre-game introductions, right?
Yeah.
Comes down the tunnel. Has his helmet in his hand, and he's banging his head with his helmet.
For God's sake.
Before the game started.
Is that the guy that was all bloody?
His face was completely covered in blood.
What an idiot.
He's the guy that's broken helmets, face masks. Remember, I fell in love with him at the combine. He's got like half an ear, I think, from something.
Doc's trying to get your attention.
What do you need? You want to call me?
Call me
you
later.
You want me to call you later?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody on the phone right now, and it's Al from Big Al from Georgia. Hi,
fellas,
Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Al.
Hey, do you like those old school unis on the Broncos?
Love them.
You know what? They wore on me.
They were gross.
It's sort of like you put a helmet on a Snickers bar and it's running around on the field.
I thought that it looked like they should be like selling Wiener Schnitzel or something.
I like the gold. I tell you, I did like the mustard gold jerseys. The rest of it I could kind of do without, but I thought the jerseys were kind of cool.
I liked the socks, especially when Gaffney twisted them a little.
They were better than
he did. Like,
they were better than
the
Jets.
Like, candy stripes.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool.
Plus, they're slimming. They make you look taller. I think I need to get a pair.
You certainly do.
I agree with a lot of what you guys have been saying, and I don't want to make you replow a lot of that turf over and over again. But it's hard for me to really blame Derek Burgess for being not that good. I was the one that called over the summer and got on the PFW in Progress Whiner line and whined about why we didn't draft linebackers. You know, they were sitting right there.
I remember that.
They were sitting right there like fish in a barrel, but we had to take two more defensive backs in addition to the two defensive backs we signed as free agents, in addition to the four defensive backs that we had coming back from last year. So we had to get even more defensive backs, even though we're thinner than Kate Moss on pills at linebacker.
Wow. Speaking of pills, did you take yours today or no? Holy crap.
It's a pet peeve. I'm sorry.
I agree with you because we all targeted pass rush as their weakness, and
And it's been a weakness.
Again, they thought they addressed it, I think, with the Burgess trade, much like they thought they addressed the number three receiver slot with Galloway and Lewis, but they didn't. They failed. They swung and missed again.
And I will say, in their defense, only slightly, because just because it didn't happen doesn't mean they should be absolved for it. They
right.
thought they were getting Jason Taylor. And at the draft, they still thought they were getting Jason Taylor.
Okay.
So, I mean, now, it doesn't, like I said, I'm not absolving Bill, completely here. They didn't get him. Mm-hmm. So you got to be sure you're getting him if that's going to affect your thing. Now, yeah. I don't know if that would have changed.
I think I'm going to wake up and buy the winning lottery ticket tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Al.
But the bigger
I
would ask the question is, Bill said there's not a lot of the 6'4", 4'6", guys out there. You need to play 3-4 outside linebacker.
Right.
Well, at what point did you decide you were going with Derek Burgess and Tully Bantakane as your ends in 4-3 fronts all the time? Because then couldn't you have drafted one of those undersized guys with a –
Everett Brown or Larry
yeah.
English, you know, the guys that we liked. Now, I know English was gone by the time they picked anyway, but
Everett Brown wasn't.
Everett Brown was still available, and, they didn't take anybody. And yeah, I'm disappointed in that draft from a positional standpoint. Now, I think they got some good players in the draft, so I think,
right.
Ultimately that's going to end up probably washing out.
Week.
I said I think they got some good players. I
Ron Brace.
I didn't think they hit home runs with everyone.
Darius Butler, special teamer. No, not
now,
Darius
moving
Butler.
On,
no,
he's
Chung.
Wide
Chung.
Receiver.
I meant Chung.
We move on to wide receiver for just a second. And just a question, you may have discussed this before, I'm sorry, but was there ever a reason or a series of reasons or no particular reason nailed down for why Greg Lewis got cut?
No.
Supposedly a numbers game. Bill didn't want to cut him but had to for a numbers game. And Paul, who did they add to the roster?
Brett Lockett. Another defensive back.
That's all we got for you. Those are the facts of the case. I mean,
did Edelman basically beat him out?
Well, so to speak, yeah. He's still on the team, and they were, extra receivers. And supposedly, Greg Lewis is a special teams guy. You know, he was working out at Gunner and kick block and all that, so it's not like he had zero role on special teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we gave up a draft pick for him, so, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, so did we for Greg, what's his name, Alex Smith.
Yeah,
and for Derek
true.
Burgess. And for somebody else, I'm sure.
Well, my last pet peeve of the day. And I'll hang up after this, is the, we have another example of a team that wins the coin flip in overtime, goes down and wins the game. And, I'm not going to go through all that again. I just don't like the way they do their overtime. We all know that the day is coming. There's going to be a day that is going to come where the Super Bowl is going to go to overtime. We've almost had three ourselves mm-hmm. go to overtime. We have three of them. We've won by a field goal each. And in their own unique, different way, each one of those games could have gone to overtime. All right, so there's going to be a Super Bowl that's going to go to overtime. And God forbid if that happens and somebody wins the coin flip and gets about three first downs and kicks a 45, 50-yard field goal to win the game, I think that there's going to be spontaneous combustion like you have never heard. And I'm just – the NFL is usually really good at anticipating things and making the right moves and, doing things to they're not afraid to change. And I love that about the NFL. But this, for some reason, this is one area that just seems to be we're stuck. And I just feel like we're standing there on the train tracks and we know.
Oh, is Al gone?
The train hit him. It was coming and it hit him.
What happened?
Wow. He was standing on train tracks. That's what happened.
Must be the magic jack.
It's not magic, Al.
Well, Al Jack. Calls a lot of shows anyway.
He was on this morning. I heard him on Dennis.
And he also was called the Weiner line. Maybe we have that.
Oh, nice.
Do we have the Weiner line?
Hey, Tom Brady, it's a federal holiday. There's no postal service. Guess that means you won't be airmailing anybody today.
End of message.
Wow. Al.
Patriots fans, Freddie.
Wow. His rant there where he went off was very good.
Yeah.
In the middle
good.
Of that call.
That was good.
Because we had to draft another defensive back to go with the four defensive backs.
Kind of sound like me.
To go along with the two we already had. The two we drafted last year.
The two we
four we already had coming back.
Bill from Beaver Creek, Colorado.
Hey,
that's Bill.
Bill.
That's Bill. We were looking for
you the other night.
We thought we might get
thought
to see
you'd be
Bill.
Surrounded by Beaver.
What can I say except that the Broncos looked a lot like the Brady Patriots of old. I was watching the interview with Wes Welker when asked about that pass that hit him in the leg. He took the blame and said that the safety had dropped and he adjusted his route, but he should have just done what Tom expected him to do. Isn't that what makes Brady so good, the ability to see the whole field, read the defense, and make adjustments?
Yep.
I think Brady will be fine. Part of the negativity, as Jesus of Homer's Fred has said, After three Super Bowls and a 16-0 season, we expect it every year, so that attitude skews the reality of it all. The reality is that Brady is coming back from a major knee surgery. It almost seems as if he's trying too hard to be the old Brady, as well as trying not to get hurt again. I am still positive. Remember, he lost this coordinator as well. There has to be an adjustment there to consider. I think he is going to have a game this season where it just clicks and he's the old Tom Brady again. We can only hope.
I'm with Bill.
I figure Paul is going to say I am completely wrong as usual. No, he agreed with you.
No, I take it back.
You know, because I am
Screw you, Bill.
I'm just a fan. I don't have the vast wealth of knowledge he stores in his balding noggin.
Don't you want to just now choking. Really screw you, Bill?
I like Paul, though. I am thankful he's on the show. Yeah, in the event that I miss something someone said, Paul's always there to repeat it so I don't miss anything.
Wow. Go screw yourself.
Wow.
But I do agree with your email.
I love Bill.
Yeah, I think Brady is a problem right now, but I don't think that will be the case all year.
John from Albuquerque says, I am so tired of all the Patriots haters. I am a huge Brady fan. He is probably the main reason I support the team. I cannot believe that people are jumping ship on Brady. What do you expect to happen after you miss an entire year of football? I'm very disappointed with the fans of this team that want to jump on the Brady hate bandwagon. Get some patience and stop spreading the FUD. What does that mean?
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
FUD?
I don't know. Brady will rebound, and many of you will be eating crow. Have some faith in our three-time Super Bowl winning NFL MVP franchise quarterback. On another note, I made a drive up to Denver this weekend for the game, and that game hurt.
Did it hurt you in the FUD?
So, I don't know what FUD would mean.
It's not FU to the D, is it?
No. We said earlier, reported by Mike Reese, that Junior Seau has re-signed with the team.
Yeah, and Mike Reese reported that. Versus reported that.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Well,
I don't
to be
get,
fair, if
I don't
Mike Reese
Mike
didn't
in,
report it, I'm not sure people would know Versus was
no,
reported.
But I don't want to get Mike in trouble in case it's not right.
Also,
that's all I'm saying, because Bill said
right.
he had nothing to say about it.
Because they have to
I
have,
was covering Mike's.
They don't have a roster there. Spot, so they need to inform somebody they're no longer on the roster.
Right. AJ is writing
Brett Lockett?
AJ is writing in that Patriots left tackle Matt Light, who injured his right knee in the Patriots 20-17 loss to the Broncos on Sunday, has no significant ligament damage in his knee or ankle, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, who relayed the news via his Twitter page.
It's interesting.
So no significant ligament in knee or ankle.
Why are we suddenly dispensing medical information, I wonder?
Adam Schefter.
Yeah. Why are we suddenly...
Where are they getting it, is the question.
Okay. Maybe Oakland told them. I'm assuming somebody in the
why
Patriots.
Why do you have to get snippy about it?
I'm just wondering why we're suddenly emitting injury information.
I just want to know where he's getting it from.
Can we assume that he got it from somebody involved with the Patriots? Either that or he just blatantly made it up.
Maybe Matt Light's agent. Maybe Matt Light himself.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, and in some way that's Patriot-related. I'm just wondering why. If it's Matt Light, that's Patriot.
Haven't we learned enough over the years that even if it's the agent or the player, if Bill doesn't want it out there, it usually doesn't get out there?
That's my point. I'm just finding it a little odd.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is the coaching staff and Bill Belichick spread too thin?
Maybe. Maybe Bill is.
And I'm not just saying Bill O'Brien's 3rd-and-9 draw to Kevin Faulk. I'm saying, and no disrespect to any of the people individually involved, Shane Donaldson as bumped up from coaching assistant to your tight ends coach.
Shane Waldron.
Not Shane Donaldson. But Chad O'Shea is a new wide receivers coach, and you have to have your GM is out coaching the receivers, too.
Boyer?
Boyer on defense.
Kevin Boyer?
I don't know. But on defense, you just have a lot of guys. We saw it in one offseason. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes, and I just wonder if that's something.
I think it's something to
we
consider.
We asked it in the summer.
Right.
After a 3-2 start in 5 games.
And
you ask it again.
And we've asked it before when Charlie left. And you know,
but
when
there's a
guys,
difference.
I know.
Josh McDaniels
the guys that are position coaches
clearly
now.
On the fast track.
Right.
Everybody knew it. Yeah. Everybody involved knew it.
You know, at the time.
And I'm not even. I think Bill O'Brien is a fast track guy. I think he's more in the mold of Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. For me, it's more some of the other guys.
Yeah.
Like O'Shea.
And there's a lot of them. So if they're all a little bit underqualified, then that. For Bill, it doesn't matter that he's 10% short. For Bill, that's 30% he needs to make up along the way.
You're right. Barry Inseong.
Chris Gokong.
Chris Gokong says, I just got back from Denver late last night, but just wanted to send a quick note to say that it was good to see you guys and let you know that all the Pats fans at the Poorhouse really appreciated you coming out on Saturday night.
Eric?
Of course, the excitement for you guys being there was Trump when Mr. Kraft arrived, but hey, second place isn't bad in this case. Seriously, though, I got a lot of positive feedback about that get-together, and hopefully we can make it happen more regularly at road games. We also did well on door collections, and it looks like Pat's Tailgate will have a donation for the Denver United Way of about $300.
Nice.
Pikes Peak Pats also raised some money through the Ty Warren autograph football raffle that they did on Sunday during the tailgate party, as well as from the tickets that were so generously provided, and those funds will be sent to the Colorado Springs USO. Nice. It was great to have Mr. Kraft come out and see us again at the tailgate on Sunday, and anyone who wants to check it out should look at Monday's episode of Patriots Today for coverage at the party and of the party and tailgate. I'll follow up later in the weekend with a wrap-up about the Denver weekend. That's Barry from the Patriots Tailgate Club.
Does a fine job organizing.
He was outstanding.
Things. Could have used a few more of those fried macaroni and cheeses. Apparently I arrived a little late at the buffet, but other than that, no complaints.
Zach from Florida is very brief. He says the only time to panic is when we are ruled out of the playoffs.
Yes.
So, I'm not panicking. I'm frustrated, but I'm not panicking. I'm still saying we're going to win the Super Bowl. I know we will. I know we're going to win the Super Bowl.
He always saves his best for last.
He knows we will.
You know, I have
that scoffing whistle in the background was from Patriots Playbook's John Rook.
He was mocking Fred, and I appreciate it. Well done.
Let's see. Another person jumping off the bandwagon. I would give anything to see O'Connell in for 4 to 5 series.
God.
Too many brave moves for 1 year. No pass rush. So that's
so ridiculous.
I agree.
So now we're bringing in Kevin O'Connell.
Poor Jed Hoyer. I mean, what's his name?
Brian Hoyer.
Who's Jed Hoyer?
Jed Hoyer. Who is Jed Hoyer?
Assistant GM.
Former.
Former assistant GM.
That's right.
John Rook's here.
Diamondbacks now.
John Rook with his first loss, picking the Pats.
Yeah, that's true. We're all jumping off the ship now?
I'm not.
I am.
Fans not happy.
Fans are not happy? Well, then good. We'll have a good nitpick Tuesday then.
I think we should blame you, John.
Because
the games that you picked against the Patriots, we actually won.
Okay.
No, he claims that was his first loss.
That was the
first
loss.
He said he's perfect.
I was perfect before that, Jason. I don't know what you're talking about.
He picked the Jets to win.
I picked the Jets to win.
John, was as frustrating here in New England as it was in Denver?
Very much so.
Yeah.
It was as frustrating. I mean, good barometer of frustration in my house is my 14-year-old, okay? Because whenever things start to slide the other direction, he just gets up and leaves the room.
He can't take it.
Can't take it. Right. Nope. Yeah, pretty much.
He must have sent a lot of emails to ask PFW because we had a lot of those types of attitudes.
John, you wouldn't believe some of the emails we got post-game.
Really?
About 15 of them. I'd say at least 7 or 8 thinking that Brady should be benched.
Wow.
And that
want to see Hoyer?
The supermodel and the children have clearly affected his play. A couple others.
That would affect my play.
Those aren't even the best ones. The best ones are the ones that that G.D. Belichick needs to learn something from McDaniels on the sideline and show some emotion. The lack of emotion, Clay Pigeon performance on the sideline is BS. You wouldn't believe, and this wasn't just one guy. This wasn't just one guy.
So that came from more than one person?
Yes, that's the message.
It doesn't take much.
There were more killing Brady than Belichick, but.
Well, now, I'll admit, I think Tom deserves his share of heat.
Tom didn't play well.
No, he did not play well. And the clock is starting to tick now. I mean, here we are we're past the third, the one-third pole of the season, quarter pole of the season. I think it's time to start seeing some of that rust come off. But you know what? If he makes that pass to Moss and he makes that pass to Welker, different story. That game never goes into overtime.
Yep.
You know, he hit Welker in what, the right butt cheek, I think, with that one pass.
Yep.
And then he obviously overthrew Moss. And those were both 6-pointers.
No, if Brady is the Brady of old, we're winning these games handily.
You can make an argument if he was the Brady of old, we'd be 5-0.
The Jets game, I don't know if he would have had an answer for that game. But,
he had plays in that game, too.
He had plays in that game, too. I'm just saying. I mean, you lost that game 16-9. Yeah. It was one touchdown.
That's the one game where we just got our asses kicked, I thought.
And how about the throw to Edelman in the red zone?
John's right. So the old Brady's 5-0 right now.
I don't disagree with that. I agree with that, Andy. I actually think you said it. Yeah, well, there you go.
I was agreeing with you, agreeing with you.
All right, well, so I'm agreeing with your agreement of me.
You're going to have 2 hours to either agree or disagree with John Rook, and he'll be here Next.
Put up your dukes.
Who do you have? Anybody with you?
B-Lo will be here.
B-Lo.
B-Lo will be here.
Yeah. B-Lo.
He's going to give us his thoughts and, you know, since he was out on the field and such. So we'll kind of break that down. But this will be a good, you know, gripe and kvetch session.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Stay tuned for Patriots.